listen carefully, we will prove our ability to transfer our thoughts to you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Good morning. Good morning. Fabulous. Outstanding. Wonderful. Terrific. Good morning. Yeah. Good morning.
Now remember, we are live, so no swearing or they will cut you off.
What about arse?
What?
Is arse a swear word?
Arse, yes, it's a swear word.
No, it's not.
Third, out there, I know arse isn't a swear word. Here, in TV land, arse is most definitely a swear word. You trust me. I know all about swearing in TV. I'm a master of knowing what I can and what I can't.
What about big dogs? Can you say that?
And now...
Whoa, wow.
Language.
Our feature presentation.
What's up, party people? Apparently you can't say that on television or radio.
I guess not.
I didn't realize. Learn something new every day on this job. It's 5:30 on the Kevin and Bean Show, and this morning is Wednesday. It's the 4th of March.
We need to know more about our bodies and sex.
Somebody's cutting it pretty close today, it looks like.
Again. This is your week, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Yeah, this has been tough.
Now, this is weird because I was here in plenty of time.
Oh. Sure.
But I've been in Lightning's office just watching videos and stuff. I didn't realize. I was like, hey, I think I might be on the air. I better go.
I think I might have a job.
That's funny.
Yeah, sorry. Right.
What's Lightning cooking up in lab today?
It's the new runaway hit, Kevin Annoys You. Where I just take a camera and just follow people around and put it right in their face, invade their private space. And I don't know. I think it's going to be a big hit. I think it's going to go well.
Well, you can be annoying.
I'm super annoying.
I have high hopes.
I annoyed Kat. I was just walking around putting the camera right in people's eye.
And then they love that.
And then I wouldn't stop.
You have been annoying for years on the radio, and apparently it's made the transition to television.
Finally, figured out a way to annoy people on video as well.
Excellent.
So, Lightning, I don't know whether, by the way, we are going to take your phone calls, Wednesday edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Please call right now, get on the air, get a prize, 1-800-520-1067. We do have some lines open. I don't know whether the pressure is being pushed down onto Lightning to come up with videos every day for the website, or if it's something that he has taken it upon himself to do.
But I think it's
he generates a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I think he's taking it on himself.
I do too, yeah.
Well, he's doing
it's his passion,
terrific
man.
Job. I watched yesterday on the front page of KROQ.com, there's a video that is all about the Kevin and Bean April foolishness. Have you seen that yet?
I have not. No.
It's fantastic.
They added together the clips of the comedians or something?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's
very
just
cool.
Really great. Really terrific. I mean, it gets you pumped up for that show. I mean, you know, it's one thing to see names on a page, but then you see how funny all of those guys are. And you go, wow, that's a big night for right there.
Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, Lightning's doing a great job. And I think Lightning's making a special appearance on the Kevin and Bean Show later today, too.
He is. As a matter of fact, he is because he's magic. Lightning he's magic. And we're going to play a game where we will give away tickets to the Fast and the Furious.
Right up his alley.
Oh, was he excited that. when he saw that commercial?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Vin Diesel. Yeah.
Well, everybody has that one movie franchise or that one genre of movie that they're so excited about. It's their very favorite. And when one comes out, it's a huge deal. You know, it's like, you know, when High School Musical comes around, I mean, I'm all about it. I can't wait. I'm excited. And it's the same thing. This happens to be Fast and the Furious is Lightning's thing.
Harry Potter's my thing.
Well, it is. Yeah. New Harry Potter movie comes out, you love it, right?
Absolutely.
I didn't realize
very
that.
Excited.
Can't wait. You want to hear a little of the Lightning intro? I think it's magic, and I think we'll all enjoy it.
Yo, rev it up, wiggity wag! Volkswagen, Cadillac, car, or truck.
That's all you get right now. That's it. It's just a taste.
Wow.
Just a taste for a little bit later on this morning.
Sweet.
He's back, and he's in rare form. All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Next.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
We've been doing this program since just after the Civil War. I think we started in 1866. And since then, we have rarely had Kevin and Bean t-shirts to give away.
That's
true. It doesn't happen very often. It's a Halley's Comet type event. And right now, we happen to have them. So you're very lucky if you call now, because we do have a brand new Kevin and Bean What It Do Nephew t-shirt for you just for getting on the radio with us.
I find that shaky at best.
Mm-hmm. I know. It seems unlikely to me, too.
I think we need to double check that. Michael and La Mirada, good morning.
Hey, what it do?
What it do?
Hey, so I just found out, the girl behind me in my math class, that she's a stripper.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah, no joke.
How did you find that out?
I was sitting in front of her, and I saw she has a really nice phone, so I said, oh, let me look at your phone real quick. She says, oh, all right. So I'm looking through it, and of course, I start to get a little snoopy about it.
Sure.
And I look at her, start looking at her pictures, and there's like 300 photos. And so I'm starting going scrolling, and there's like those lame ones, like MySpace ones.
Of course.
And then I finally come to a few that she's in lingerie.
Nice.
And she explains to me, and then I give it back to her, and she says, wait, did you see those photos that were where I was in the club? And I said, yeah. She's like, I was like, you go to a club like that? She's like, I'm a dancer. And
yes.
I go, that's cool. Whoa.
What person, stripper or otherwise, hands their phone over to a dude and just lets them spend as much time as they want looking through all their personal stuff?
Yep.
A girl that wants those pictures to be seen?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Now, did you set up a date with her or anything? Did you find out when she's going to work next?
I just found out yesterday that she did this. She works on Thursdays and Sundays, so I'm going tomorrow for show.
I don't think there may be people listening who don't understand why this is so awesome. He's in class with a girl who I assume is hot, and now he has the opportunity to see her naked.
Correct.
I mean, yeah. That's perfect.
And then Michael, go back to math class.
Exactly. You got to get back to us and let us know how it goes, all right, dude?
No joke.
He's not going to pass that class, you know.
Well, of course not.
It's
but
done for. You
who
may
cares?
As well just take a zero now.
That's fine. That's awesome. All right.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Michael. You did the right thing by snooping.
Let's try Matt in Encino on line one. He is calling about something that happened on the TV last night. Matt, welcome to the show. What'd it do?
What'd it do?
What's going on,
what'd
dude?
What'd it do, baby boo?
What'd it do?
So last night on American Idol, did you see the blind guy, how he forced Ryan to give him a high five?
No, I didn't see it yet.
Oh, did he? He was making fun of him?
Yeah, he was.
Awesome.
This is Blindy, who is one of the contestants, and his name is Blindy. It's just so
weird.
That
is weird,
maybe maybe that's just what I call him. But right after he sang and Ryan was interviewing him, he said, all right, now I'm going to make Ryan high-five me with a stationary target. He puts his hand up in the air so that Ryan can hit him.
He should have moved it.
That would have been funny. But how would he know? How would he know to move it? That's
just
the problem.
Sense.
Sure, they can tell. They have heightened senses.
They
He's
do.
Not Spider-Man, you guys.
How
He's
do you know?
Guy. You
can hear better. Every other sense is heightened.
Yeah.
Well, he did jump 100 feet in the air. That was weird.
Okay, that was good then.
But it was very funny. The kid's got some real, real good personality. He's a very passionate singer. I don't know if he'll make the cut or not, but I'm certainly pulling for him.
All right, let's go to Jason in Diamond Bar. Good morning, Jason.
What it do? Hey, guys, I don't know about you, but see the Laker game?
Lakers-Memphis?
I didn't last night. Tell me about it.
Oh, man, finally able to snap their three-game losing streak.
Wasn't a three-game losing streak. It would have been a three-game losing streak, right?
No, actually, it would have been their fourth.
Oh.
Yeah. Is that right, Mike? The Lakers have lost three?
No, I thought that doesn't sound right at all. That was going
to
be their third.
They lost to Phoenix and they lost to Denver, but then they beat Phoenix on Friday, last Friday, so it would have been their third.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about Memphis.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know about you guys, but because it was the Battle of the Casals last night, but you guys know where Paul and Mark are from?
No, where?
From Barcelona.
Nicely done.
Okay, well done.
That's Pau Gasol and the Lakers and his brother Mark, who's a Yeti, on the Memphis Grizzlies.
Mark looked great last night.
Did he?
He had 17 points, 14 rebounds. I think he was really stepping it up because he knew he was going to match up against his brother.
He's like Bigfoot, that guy.
Yeah. Well, that's why he had to play for the Grizzlies. There were no other options. Let's try, wow, we got some good calls. What's going on with you people with the good calls all of a sudden?
I don't know.
Let's try Anthony in Covina. This disturbs me. He's on line five. If I missed hearing about this story, I'm very disturbed. Anthony, hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
What it do? Hey, guys. Monday, we had an asteroid that I guess was only 40,000 miles up, and it nearly took out half our side of the planet. And the news didn't release the report until right after it happened. But they're saying that it was 1/7 the distance of the moon. Had it hit us, it would have been the equivalent to several nuclear blasts.
How could they hide that?
I guess Australia first saw it on Friday night around 11 p.m., and they didn't actually make the news report official until 9 a.m. Monday when it had just passed us.
So we almost died on Monday. That's what you're telling
me.
We
almost all died.
Wow.
this is fascinating to me. I love this topic because I love mass destruction and death. But I've always wondered if, like in the movies, you know, they always have the discussion when the asteroid is hurtling toward Earth, whether to inform the public or not, if there's going to be panic or if it's better if they don't know.
Right.
I always hope that they would tell us. I would always rather have more information than less. So I'm very disturbed if this was really happening and they did not announce it ahead of time.
Does anybody know if they contacted Bruce Willis and he put together a team of drillers and went up to the asteroid to put an atomic bomb in it?
Well, that would certainly work. I would do that.
Yeah. All right. Just check. All right. Thank you, Anthony.
This article I just brought up said that it was less than 50,000 miles away.
Well, that sounds like a long ways to me.
Seems far.
Not compared to how big space is, not compared to how far apart things usually are. The fact that it would get that close means it could have just as easily hit us.
Don't they have plans for that?
They do. I just told you it.
No, not that.
They have a lot of ideas, but they don't have anything in place. I mean, they would need so much advance notice to implement any of the plans that they have come up with so far. I mean, they would need like a couple of years to get them going.
No,
if they find out about something weeks away, they can't do anything about it. There's just no time.
50,000, yeah. 50,000, what'd you say, 50,000 miles?
Yeah.
Is not that far when you think about the trajectory starts so far back. That's a matter of like a millimeter to the left or right, you know, however many light years away this asteroid started. So.
The asteroid about the size of a 10-story building flew past the Earth at roughly twice the distance of the highest Earth-orbiting satellites, according to Space.com. Wow, that is so close. It's similar in size to a rock that exploded above Siberia in 1908, which flattened 80 million trees across an 800-square-mile area, and that's one that didn't even hit the Earth.
That's because Bruce Willis got on it and exploded.
That could have been the one.
1908?
Yeah, that was probably him.
Yeah.
So, says astronomers didn't spot it until Saturday.
Awesome.
That disturbs me greatly.
Sounds like the astronomers are asleep at the wheel, aren't they? I mean, that's their job, right?
Yeah, that's what they look out there all the time.
How do they not see it till Saturday?
Wow, I think there may need to be some sort of follow-up phone call.
What's wrong with them?
This is, I'm very disturbed now.
All right, let's squeeze in one more call because this is maybe my favorite story in a long time. Stephanie in Placentia, good morning.
What a do, baby boo. I was just wondering, if you guys heard about the lady that called 911 three times over her chicken McNuggets?
Yep.
Well, in her defense, they didn't have any chicken McNuggets. I mean, what is she supposed to do?
She was at McDonald's. She called. They wouldn't give her money back, which seems bogus. But,
it does, yeah.
But she called 911 once, and then nothing happened, of course, because it's stupid. And then she called again, and she called again three times. She was wasting their time because she couldn't get nuggets.
All sales are final in McDonald's, apparently.
But why? Why couldn't they have just said, oh, I didn't realize we're out of McNuggets. Here's your money back.
Don't know. I do know it's not a 911 call, but I don't know why.
And why didn't any of the 911 operators say?
Yeah, they didn't seem to.
None of them seemed. Said.
Why, why are you calling
us? They wanted her name and her phone number, but none of them said, get off the phone.
Stephanie, I'm glad you called. Thank you for bringing that up. Here's a little piece of the tape of the Chicken McNugget 911 call.
911, do you need police, fire, and ambulance?
Police.
Where?
I'm taking the McDonald's on Delaware.
What's going on there?
I ordered a 10-piece chicken nugget with a small fry, and she said that they didn't have any chicken nuggets. And so I told her I want a McDouble and a small fry, and she told me I won't have to pick anything else off the menu because she can't refund me the disrespect out of the meal. And I told her, just give me all my money back. And she told me she can't give me my money back either. She will have to. I have to pick something.
There's no manager there?
Ma'am?
You already spoke with the manager?
She are the manager. She's saying something about she just can't refund me my money or something.
Well, she are the manager, first of all.
Yeah, well, that is true.
By the way, no surprise that it happened in Florida. And if we don't have time now, but maybe later we'll play more. Her name is Latresa.
Yes.
Latresa Goodman in Florida is where she is.
She's the best.
And she just couldn't get her head around the fact that she couldn't get McNuggets because, well, that's essential.
How
do the 911 operators stay so calm all the time, no matter how critical it is or how stupid it is? They always are so even-keeled. It's really amazing.
Yeah.
Well, they're trained for critical, I imagine.
Sure.
But stupid, it seems like, would drive them out of their mind. Wait, you're calling me from McDonald's about McNuggets? Kill yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think they would say something like that, but they don't.
Because then they kill themselves, and then it's on tape that they told them to do it.
Well, there is that.
Anyway, great to call, Stephanie. Thank you.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amin Show. It's Wednesday, the 4th of March. Bow, bow.
Yeah, we
Wednesday the 4th.
We covered that.
Back
when you were playing video games, we were doing that.
That's when I wasn't in here. That's handled, yeah. We have Ralph's Video Vault on the program today.
Oh, that's always fun.
He's got the new movie Fireproof. Oof. Which looks horrible, but at least it was straight to video.
Lisa just
bark.
Yeah.
All right.
She did just bark, yes. We're going to talk to somebody who's going to try and take on Ticketmaster, and we know how well that goes, but
good God luck. Bless him.
We're going to give it a shot, yeah. Talk about wine snobs today. We didn't have a chance for that yesterday.
Okay.
Fast and the Furious World Premiere tickets. Lightning's going to give those away. Very excited about it. We're going to continue our planning to stun gun someone.
Yes.
Really, just have decided that's what we need to do.
I didn't realize until yesterday how many great stun gun and taser videos there are on YouTube. You could make a whole TV show on it.
Yes,
you
and
they could. Should.
And we'd like to add to that. And number 5 from the Lakers, Jordan Farmar on the program.
Yeah. How about that? Come on.
Very cool. Take a quick break.
They lost 27 in a row before last night. That's what I heard.
That's just not the case. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Ralph Garman joins us in studio now with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for this morning. How are you, Ralph?
We want a troublemaker, not a belly acher.
I don't think those are the lyrics.
But sing that at the old baseball stadium.
The old baseball stadium?
The old baseball stadium. Lil' Kim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't just a new contestant on Dancing with the Stars. Apparently she's a hardcore fan. That's why she's doing it. She got hooked on the show during her time in prison.
Okay.
Yeah. Lil' Kim says the show was the most requested program amongst all the inmates.
How is that possible?
Her fellow jailbird suggested she go out for the show when she got out of prison, and that's exactly what happened. Oh, that's a heartwarming story about jailmates.
Yes.
She's doing it for the women who are still inside,
doing
man.
It for Little Bear and... Tear Eye and all the rest of the
Tear
Sad
Eye.
Sad girl.
Yeah. Sad girl. Yeah.
Do they limit the choices that you have of programs you can watch in jail? Like you can't watch anything that's violent or crime shows
yeah,
or anything like that.
Yeah, you all got to watch it. So it's whoever. Everybody's got to watch it. So.
Oddly enough, you can't watch Everyone Loves Raymond, too.
Really?
Weird. Yeah. Mm,
weird. That is strange.
That is weird.
I don't know why, but apparently it incites violence. Jessica Biel had one of the biggest moments of her career when she got to present an Academy Award. At the ceremony the other night, she's just sad that her biggest fan didn't catch her appearance. Turns out her mom told her after the show had aired that she picked that moment to head to the bathroom.
Wow.
At home and missed out on Jessica announcing the category for the Oscars.
What does a woman have to do to get her mom's attention?
You want us to wait till we finish your novel?
You're typing?
I was doing it as quietly as I could, you guys.
Yeah, it was not quiet enough.
I felt like I was sitting next to... Stephen King is pounding out a sequel to Cujo.
Did Jessica Biel's mom have the fear?
I think she did. Yeah.
The fear.
The fear.
Misha Barton may be headed back to primetime television.
Why?
Yeah, too skinny.
Word has it she may be joining the cast of the revamped Melrose Place. You know, they're bringing back Melrose Place. They brought back 90210.
Right.
With much success. So now Melrose Place coming back.
Okay.
And the former star of the OC may be added to that cast.
I just threw up in my mouth.
I think that's sort of a lateral move, isn't it? If you go from the OC to Melrose Place?
Yeah, pretty
much. Yeah,
pretty
think
much
so.
The same show, different zip code, right?
Yeah.
Would she have made enough money from her years on the OC that's what she's been living on? Because it seems like she doesn't work anymore.
I don't know. I don't know how much people like that
make. Don't see her a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
very occasionally you'll hear that she's in some indie movie or something like that. But I just wonder what people like that who have the jet set lifestyle, she's at all the fashion shows and going around the world. I just wonder where she gets all her cash.
Probably just hooking.
Yeah,
maybe.
I guess.
A lot of comic book movie news.
Yes.
All of it, oddly enough, involving Megan Fox.
Huh.
Oh, well, okay now.
Hollywood Reporter has announced that Megan will co-star with Josh Brolin in the... big screen version of the DC comic book Western, Jonah Hex.
Never heard of it.
Jonah Hex is a Western that takes place, I think, just after the Civil War. And he is a gunfighter whose face has been horribly scarred in a fire. He looks like Two-Face. He's got half of his mouth missing, but he's got one big long strand of skin that kind of holds his jaw and his chin together.
That'll be
and just
fun
stays
to watch.
That way.
It's pretty. It's very pretty.
It's very nice.
She will be co-starring in that. I hope she's not playing Jonah. That would be a shame to mess with her
that
face
would be
like
ugly.
That. And she's also starring in a motion picture based on a comic book called Phantom, or excuse me, Fathom.
Fathom.
Fathom, yes.
Okay.
So a lot of comic books for Megan Fox, which makes sense because she is almost a comic book character herself.
Yeah, she is.
She looks like someone had to have drawn her in order for her to look like that. So that's news for men. For Bean, it's good news coming out of the Disney Channel, apparently, yes, High School Musical 4 in the works.
What?
Well, I don't think Zach and Vanessa are going to be part of it, though, so it's hard for me to be
really?
As excited.
Not interested.
Maybe stop making that noise.
Yeah, I don't know what that noise is.
Well, tell me more.
I'm not the expert Bean is, but didn't they graduate?
Yes, it's going to be a brand new cast, Kevin. They are continuing the franchise. This won't be a movie, a theatrical release. This will be back on the Disney
back on
Channel
TV.
Again.
Okay.
They're starting all over again on Disney Channel with High School Musical 4. New crew, new students.
Hot chick. Who's the twink for Bean?
I don't know who the boy is for Bean yet, but we'll have to wait and see. Maybe it could be one of the guys from American Idol last night. This is the gayest American Idol in the history of the program. Every dude on that show is gay.
I was all flipping around last night. I saw a dude in a blue headband.
Gay?
And I thought,
that was Nathaniel.
That headband was fantastic.
Then you got Jesus, the gay guy from Puerto Rico. Gay Clay Aiken wannabe.
That's right.
Simon Cowell, as I was saying, you remind me of Clay Aiken. I was like, why'd you just say you're way gay? Every dude on the show last night, way gay.
Wow.
Every dude on the show is gay, and every woman on the show has tons of kids. What the hell is going on this season?
Yeah. Huh. So gay. Gayest idol ever.
What are you saying?
Gay. Pictures on the internet of one of the guys making out with other dudes at Burning Man. I think
Adam.
It was you, Kevin.
It was not me.
It might have been.
I saw him. You thought he was giving you mouth to mouth after you ran over that cow.
I think we just crossed the line.
By the way, potentially the greatest contestant in the history of American Idol is on this season, though, Kevin.
Why? Who's that?
What's Little Rounds?
Little Rounds
is so poised and so talented. She looks like she's a professional star.
Is that Little Neckbone's cousin?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they could just fast forward to the finale and just give it to her and be done with it. They really should.
Her name's
easy.
Lil?
Easy. The greatest performer ever in American Idol.
Well,
she's good.
She's got to be in the top five, that's
she's
for sure.
She's good. She's good. You know what it is? Idol's over now. It's over for me.
Good.
She's head and shoulders above everybody else,
though.
I thought
you started watching, and now you're done.
You know why?
You son of a bitch.
Because American Idol is now starting to eat its own tail. Because now they're just replicating other people that they've had. This is like Fantasia Barrino is who this girl is, basically.
Oh, I see. They're just trying to replay the same
Very talented,
type.
But same style, same, you know, same talent level, just very impressive. But the same archetypes now are just starting to rerun on that show. They get the same kind of people.
So you're done with it?
I think they're running out of talent. I couldn't believe they ever could. But there's no one new or original on the show whatsoever this year. No sort of interesting person. Like, even Taylor Hicks, the gray-haired dude.
Yeah.
You're like, that guy's interesting. I haven't seen anyone like him before. This is just a run-of-the-mill crop, I think.
You should watch other things.
And David Cook was the first guy like him who had come along.
Exactly.
I know what you're saying, yeah.
Now they're just starting to repeat themselves.
But there are only so many different musical styles that you could put on that program, though. I mean, there's a limited number.
Individuals. I mean, think how many people in rock you have that are just wildly individual. They all sing the similar type of music, but at least, you know, as independent entities, they're interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the show's just starting to repeat itself.
Awesome.
But a blind guy did have Ryan Seacrest high-five him. And it was great. Blind dude's like, hey, Ryan, why don't you give me a high-five? And he puts his hand up. And Ryan does it, but he looks in the camera and he's just seething because the guy just burned him on national television. Just mocked him.
Did Ryan try to come back with a witty aside be funny?
That's why I knew he was pissed, because he went right to the teleprompter and just started reading his dialogue. He didn't try to be funny or ad-lib or anything.
Ryan had hoped that people had forgotten about that ugly incident.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And lastly, Pete Wentz in the news. Apparently Pete Wentz has some weird phobias.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
He's afraid of masculinity. Mm. Yeah. Apparently, Pete says that he refuses to listen to the song Hallelujah by Jeff Buckley.
Why?
Because it was playing when he overdosed back in 2005, Lisa. So now he's afraid of that song.
That was his OD song.
Yes, we all have one.
Sure, me too.
And also, he says he refuses to open his front door because he's convinced someone is going to murder him.
What?
Well, that may be.
Does he just go out the back?
That may be a legitimate fear. Yeah, that may be a legitimate fear.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Hard to beat Pete Wentz.
Apparently.
Hard for a Wentz in the city.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress, singer Patsy Kensit is 41 years Ooh. Old today. Also married to one of the Oasis brothers.
That's right.
Noel, Liam.
One of those guys.
Bill.
Bill. Bill Gallagher, I think. Steven Weber of Wings and a lot of other projects. He is 48 years old today. He was so good on that Sunset Strip.
Studio 60. Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. Patricia Heaton from Everybody Loves Raymond is 51 years old today.
Bell? No Bell. Bell. I've always thought she was pretty sexy.
She still looks good, you guys.
I think she's on the other side of Bell.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe a begrudge the Bell on that one.
Yeah. I mean, you might give her one just for nostalgia's sake. And actress Catherine O'Hara, who's in all of those Christopher Guest movies, was a very funny one of those.
Oh, yeah.
She was also on Second City TV. She was the mom in Home Alone.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Illustrious career. She is 55 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This April Foolishness, by the way, is phenomenal interest from the K-Rock listeners about this show. People really making plans to get the tickets when they go on sale Thursday at 5, or better yet, when you're a K-Rock Street Team member, you get a chance to buy them early. You can get all the details at krock.com. It only takes a minute to register to be a Street Team member if you're not already one, and it is free. And surprisingly, they do not sell your email address or spam you. So it's actually it's a win-win,
We're holding on to it. I mean, that's going to happen eventually.
Economic times are tough. Right. It's bound to happen.
That's right.
At some point, we're going to discreetly charge $1 to everybody's credit card. I don't know how we're going to do it. I may be late to the game. Kevin has been a fan of the tasing and the stun gun for many, many years, and I kind of just ignored it or just, I noticed it pass on by. But lately, I have really become excited by all of the YouTube videos and all of the stories in the news about people who are getting tased.
Better late than never, dude.
You know, when Bean gets a hold of something, man, he's like a dog with a bone. Like all of a sudden, he's just all over this.
It's like a pit bull. We'd have to stick our finger. Oh, never mind.
I just can't get enough of.
Don't tase me, bro.
I love it so much, and we got another one yesterday. There's been a whole string of them lately. We got another one yesterday of a guy who is on a lawnmower, and I don't know what the original call was. He's on a riding lawnmower, and the cop shows up, and he's trying to get this guy to turn himself in or to stop driving because he's obviously drunk or whatever the deal is. But listen to some of the tape, especially pay attention to the part where he does get stun gunned, which is my favorite.
You know what, man? Well, I'm not doing anything wrong. I know my rights. No, I'm not going to jail today. I'm not down.
Right. Put,
I'm
man,
not,
put your hand behind your back. No, no. Put your hand. Steve.
No, I'm not doing anything wrong.
You're fixing to get lit up, Steve.
Okay, right there. You're fixing to get lit up is my favorite part.
Fixing to get lit up.
And then you hear him start the lawnmower, and I don't know what he's thinking, but I guess that he somehow can get away from the officer on a riding lawnmower?
You can walk faster than a riding lawnmower. You don't have to jog. You can walk faster than those.
Right. All right, so he turns up the engine, and of course, that means he's about to get, he's fixing to get lit up.
Steve, you're fixing to get tased. I'm serious, Steve. Come on, man. Come on, bro. Come on.
I'm not going I think I crapped my pants.
Okay, that's the part you don't want to think about. He is writhing around on the ground, and of course, at that point, you're stunned, literally, and you're just terrified that it's going to happen again, and he just continues to scream.
God, don't do that again. Please. Jesus Christ, man.
I told you, man.
I told you.
He did. I told you.
That's true.
You ready to get up? You gonna get up nice and slow. You hear me?
God. I know my right.
Come on. I told you.
I know. God dang it! God. I know my right. I know my right. I know my right.
Well, wow. You may know your rights, but you done got teased, son. Sorry about that.
He could have just grabbed his arm and pulled him off that lawnmower.
Fixing to get lit up.
Really drunk.
Well, I love that so much. And then we started thinking about, and by the way, we may have to talk to the K-Rock listener who has a stun gun that she takes with her when she walks her dog, because she's had a couple of incidents where off-leash dogs have come toward her dog, and she stunned them. She's got one. She's willing to let us use it. And then we thought, well, if we've got a stun gun and we've got the will, we've got the desire, who needs to be stun gunned? And then, of course, only one name came to mind, and that was our friend Beer Mug.
Yeah, of course.
But Mugs. We haven't really run this by Mugs yet, so he's kinda, we're giving him a call.
But
right
he's
now.
Up for anything. I mean, I don't think it's a...
It's not exactly a food challenge, you guys.
It's a slam dunk,
it's a little
though.
Different.
Yeah, but usually you can just assume whatever we're into, Mug will do.
Hello.
Hey, Beer Mug.
Morning.
Hey, guys.
How are you, man?
Well, you know what's funny?
Right.
is you don't think I know why you're calling.
Why? We're just calling to say hi. It's just we haven't talked to you in a couple of days, Buck. That's it. We just want to see how your day's going.
You guys know the show, the Kevin and Bean Show, is podcasted, right?
Yes. I know that King of Mexico puts those up on podcast. Yes.
Well, so it wouldn't be odd that I maybe heard that all day yesterday my name was being thrown around, an experiment for tasing.
What?
Oh, no. You misunderstood.
Way.
What?
We wouldn't want to do that to you.
Would we do that to you?
Did I mishear it?
No. Would you? But you'd be into it, right?
Well, here's the thing.
Because
if I back down now after all the wacky stuff I've done on the show.
That's what I'm saying.
If I back down now, I'm going to have to explain to all the K-Rock listeners for the rest of my life why I could snort hot sauce and snort Lysol.
That's correct.
But I couldn't get tased in the ass.
This is what I love about men.
Yeah, they just
it's honor.
Now,
it's honor.
It's
yeah,
honor.
Now you can't back down. We're going to be like, F you.
But right. here's what's interesting, Beer Mug. You know, we love you. I mean, it's not like we thought of you because we don't like you and we want to inflict pain on you. Exactly the opposite. We thought of you because you're our brother, and we know that you're the specialized agent that is required for this job. No one else rises to the challenge on an event like this like you do. I mean, you are just the man.
Well, look, it's
a compliment.
It's an honor that you guys think of me that way.
Sure. Did you guys see Johnny Knoxville? Which movie was that?
I did.
That was
see that.
One of the original Big Brother movies. That wasn't even a Jackass.
No, it wasn't.
That was back in the day.
Yeah, he got tased, and then the other dude kept squeezing the trigger and tasing him again and again and again.
Oh.
And that's what we're going
to
do.
And then he had to pull those.
Then you have to pull. It's like a fish hook.
It's like a fish hook.
Out of
pull
your skin.
It out of his chest. That's the part that killed me.
Good times.
Yeah.
Well, we've got some research to do on this mug because whatever we come up with, we want to make sure that it's not going to, you know, sterilize you or, you know, like give you some sort of permanent damage. We just want something that's going to be fun for everybody, which is going to be temporarily putting 50,000 volts through your body.
Well, I do hope that the corporate part of things does clear on this.
What are you talking about?
we weren't going to ask them, Mug.
No, you don't run it by anyone, Mugs.
Oh, you don't? Is that
no, you know what we say. You ask for forgiveness, not permission.
Exactly.
That's the only way to do it. You go, what? That wasn't. We weren't supposed to do that?
You weren't counting on that, were you, Beer Mug?
That's why he's being. That's why he's saying, oh, I'll do it, because he figures he won't be allowed to because corporate will step in. I see.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mike, you've seen more people tased than I have, Mike.
Yeah.
I've seen two different things. One is when they flop around like a fish, like the guy falling off the lawnmower. And the other one is when they just dead drop and don't even move. What's that all about?
I think it's just different reactions onto different places where it may enter your body. You know, different nerves get touched on. The one I saw that really disturbed me is I came out of a club that Omar was DJing at one time, and there was a guy lying on the ground just in a puddle of his own wee-wee.
Well, don't say that with Mugs on the phone.
But I think the cops gave him a lot more juice than we'd give him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So Mug
and that guy went on to win a Nobel Prize and pull Mad Tail, right?
Yeah, of course. And and Mugs pees his pants like every night anyway.
Right, so he's already halfway there.
True.
All right.
True.
Here's the question, Mug. Can we go forward and start talking to people who operate this machinery, know about this machinery, and come up with something and then see how you feel about it, and you'll keep an open eye, maybe?
An open eye?
How about an open mind?
Or an open mind, whatever it is that's open. I don't care.
By the way, Beer Mug, there's defibrillators here at K-Rock.
Right.
And we all got training courses on how to use them.
I forgot, though. I got
you
trained like 2 years ago.
By the way, you know, the only person in the building allowed to operate that is Scott Mason, so he'll have to be on standby.
He sent out an email telling us all we could do it.
We'll have him standing by. We'll have whatever medical personnel necessary.
Sure.
Standing by in the event that, you know, an actual emergency breaks out.
Mugs, you're an idiot. You don't ask for Scott Mason as standby. You need, like, a EMT or something.
Well, if you guys do enough research on this whole thing.
You know we will. We're thorough like that.
I will go ahead and continue to live by the motto. I will put my body on the line for the sake of good radio.
That's what we're talking about.
Hey, Kevin, tell Mugs about the time you almost killed Lightning.
What are you talking about?
Remember?
Oh,
the pumpkin toss?
We used to do a pumpkin toss where we would go down. It was Halloween.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it was, which band, Bean?
It was Oingo Boingo. Used to have their annual Halloween shows down at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, back then the Irvine Amphitheater. And we used to do this elaborate thing every year where listeners would build catapults and we'd see how far we could throw a pumpkin. Mm-hmm. Mike, this goes back to the days when Kevin Bean used to do stuff. And
we used to get the world's biggest pumpkin, remember?
That's right, yes. Yeah. I mean, 600-700-800-pound pumpkins that would be hurled hundreds of feet through the air from a catapult. It was fantastic. We did it every year.
So this year, I think the students at USC or somebody made like a giant catapult, and the counterbalance was a huge van, a full van of like cement bricks.
God.
And I was saying, Lightning, we're going to tie it to the chair. This is going to be so funny. And
out Scott in the middle of the field.
And Scott Mason wouldn't let me do it. He's like, what if it hits him? I'm like, what are the chances that that pumpkin is going to hit him? We were... I don't know, 100 feet away or something like that. And he wouldn't let me do it. I was so angry. I was yelling at him. I was like, come on, this is just fun.
Because it'd be so funny to have Lightning out there tied to a chair as a 600-pound pumpkin comes hurtling through the air, which, of course, wouldn't come anywhere near where he was sitting.
Right. So he didn't let me do it, and we did the pumpkin toss, and it demolished the chair. It was a direct hit and would have killed him.
No doubt.
Yes.
Oh. No, it was Oingo Boingo. So when Kevin says we're going to be thorough and do all the research, that's what he's talking about.
You can trust me, Muggs.
Right, but that you guys understand that Lightning does not work for you guys anymore.
Right.
Right.
Right, and that is the simply based that's simply the reason that cuz you put them all in danger. But
I didn't put them in danger, first of all. All right, Muggs, you're the man.
All right. Well, I hope everything turns out okay.
So do we.
So do we. Not as much as you do, but we do too.
All right.
Thank you for the call. Jordan Farmar from your Los Angeles Lakers on the program today. Also, we have tickets for Fast and the Furious 4, and Kevin wants to kill anyone who drinks wine. All of that this morning on the Kevin Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock coming up.
First, AfroLine 323-520 AFRO, 24 hours a day. It's an answering machine. You can leave a message on any topic, including tasing.
Hey, how about making a deal with Sam, the Armenian comedian, that if he allows himself to be tased, you will give him 2 minutes on stage at the comedy show?
I have a better idea. Let's give him 2 minutes on stage at the comedy show and tase him while he's up there. That would be awesome.
That would be comedy for us.
Right. Mm. This is a message, I believe, from The Voice from our own K-Rock Sluggo.
Oh.
He doesn't say that, but I recognize his voice, and I believe this is about our April Foolishness show.
You can call me back at 976 Hottie Sweaty Fella. April Foolishness? That's the name of your show, April Foolishness? That's the name you came up with? You're going to make people go buy tickets for something called April Foolishness? What kind of stupid name is that? By the way, I'm telling everybody the truth about this, that it's a scam, you bastards.
Yeah. How are you going to come at us like that, Sluggo?
It's not a scam. I know that we deserve the, you know, that kind of doubt.
Sure.
But it isn't. It's the third, and it's actually happening, and you can go to Ticketmaster and
it's
see.
It's not an April Fool's joke if it's not on April Fool's Day. That's cheating, and we don't cheat.
Oh, we cheat, but we're not cheating this time.
No.
Is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Bean's been trying to buy Nope.com, and they have been a little bit unreasonable.
Hello there, Mr. Bean. This is the owner of Nope.com. Just returning your phone call about possibly purchasing my website. I had something very insightful, very comical, and very funny to say for the rest of this message, but I won't continue for anything less than $2.6 million. If you'd like me to continue this, Afro, please get back to me at 1-818-F-U.
Well, that's a great number. You should get that one.
By the way, one of the website domains that I looked up recently to see if it was ill was that one, was FU. Yeah. So I thought, how awesome would that be? But of course it's taken.
That's been taken a long time.
Yeah, the guy who owns Nope.com wanted $100,000 for it. So that's not a website that Kevin and me will be owning anytime soon.
Bean offered him $500,000, which we thought was outrageously high. You know,
seemed generous, yeah.
$100,000 he came back. This isn't Ralph, but I know that Ralph would agree 1,000% with it.
Hey, Dean, when Ralph's doing his show, there's the shut the f*** up! Shut up! Shut up! Shut up! Shut up! Dean, shut the f*** up!
So talk more?
And the people love him about numbers. We talked about that yesterday. Obsessed with numbers.
Dean, I love numbers. Numbers are amazing. They're so cool, and there are patterns everywhere. Like on my
The square root of 13 is just suck it, Bean. Suck it. Nobody cares about your stupid numbers.
That is great.
I didn't realize that. I must have missed that day in math class.
Ralph is obsessed with Eddie Money, who was a star in the late 40s.
Late
70s,
early 80s was his peak heyday, I think.
Ralph, I just unlocked Eddie Money on Guitar Hero. Hold on a second. I'm going to jam with him. Okay, here we go. Crap, he walked off the stage.
God,
this game is realistic.
See, because he left Ralph hanging.
Because Ralph was going to sing with him, and he didn't see him and forgot about him. So. Yesterday, we were talking to the San Diego Board of Tourism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We made new friends.
I don't think they were going for any of our ideas. Uh-huh. But this guy perhaps should call with a clearer head, because you don't want to sound like me.
San Diego. Where I banged some chick off of Ashley. Screwed that one up. I shouldn't be smoking in the morning.
That's true.
Okay. Wow.
The song Single Ladies by Beyonce.
The one you mm-hmm. love so
it's
much?
It's so freaking annoying because it's so repetitious.
All the single ladies. 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 All the single ladies.
Okay. We get the idea. It's repetitive. We get the idea,
it's
right?
It's a little repetitive.
Hey, guys. Want to know if you've heard the new David Bowie song? Here, I'll play it for you. All the single ladies. 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 All the single ladies.
Here's my favorite part.
All the single ladies. All the single ladies. All the single ladies.
All right.
All the single
got it.
Ladies.
All right. Says the same thing a lot of times in a row.
Single ladies.
Understood.
All the single ladies.
Oh, big finish. I read an interview recently with the guy who wrote that song, the Single Ladies song, by the way. 10 minutes.
Big surprise.
What a surprise. He wrote 4 words.
And that's what I thought. I thought, why not spend another 10 minutes and come up with another verse?
10 minutes.
Yes, ten minutes he took to write. Least surprising headline in the paper today, Los Angeles Mayor Villaraigosa succeeds in bid for second term. I couldn't name one other guy who was running against him.
Yeah, there was no one.
This was so low wattage, this campaign.
He campaigned apparently on his efforts to cut traffic in and around Los Angeles, which I got to tell you, it's really, really been clear. Like, oh, wait.
He just fly on down the road now, don't you?
Hasn't really been any better, I don't think.
I think there were, I think they haven't counted all the votes. I think there were about 40 people who voted, and I think the mayor got about 25 of them.
Yeah,
so pretty much,
right.
pretty much that's over. Here he is giving his speech last night after it was clear that he had been reelected.
I stand before you all, humbled tonight. Humbled by your support and your confidence. I'm humbled by your continued trust and your continuing forgiveness.
From when he banged all those chicks, remember?
Wow.
I believe we have the mayor on the line with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. He's got to be very happy out there in Hancock Park. Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. This is the mayor's assistant, Omar. The mayor's giving a speech right now on the front lawn. He'll be right with you.
He's giving a speech right now?
Yeah, he's out on the front lawn right now. Just give him 1 second. He'll be right with you.
Oh, okay.
All right, Omar.
My election was just the first step, and we have a lot of work to do as Los Angelinos. Thank you very much.
All right. He's wrapping that up.
Not much applause, though. I guess they didn't think that out.
Sure. How you doing, man?
Mr. Mayor?
All right, what's up, man?
Why, how come you talk like that to the people in front of the microphones, but like this to us?
We talked about this, man. Because there's too many white people still living in the city, you know, and I get up there, I talk like I want to talk, you know, unbutton my shirt a little bit, huh? Put a toothpick in my mouth, and they'll be like, who have we elected? Who is this monster, you know?
But, I see.
You guys, you're my friends, my amigos.
don't shoot your gun.
Four more years. Count it.
Right, but
dos, tres, cuatro.
4 more years.
And by that, you mean 2 more years until you run for governor.
Is it 2 or whatever?
No, it's not 2. It's 4, but you're going to start running for governor in 2 years.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, if you insist.
Okay.
That works for me.
I thought that was your plan. Okay.
So Mr. Mayor. Wow. You can't shoot off guns in L.A. like that.
Good time. Come on.
You're not allowed to have automatic weapons.
A what?
You're not allowed to have automatic
weapons. Oh, I'm sorry. To the mayor?
Well, no, but I mean, that's...
Who's the mayor?
That's the law.
Who runs the city? If you had to pay one guy who runs the city, who would it be? Oh, I think it would be me.
still doesn't seem safe or wise at all, Mr. Mayor.
Listen, we got a lot of work to do, though.
Right. Okay.
This city, like all the cities around the nation,
would you mind clarifying the word city?
What do you mean?
Never mind. Keep going.
What the hell kind of question was that?
Well, I'm just saying, it sounds like SH, and that's something we can't say.
I said, like all the cities around the country.
Okay.
We are in trouble, and we need to work hard together, okay, to fix this.
Okay. Well, all right, put the gun down and just talk to us, Mr. Mayor. Stop with that. Now, do you have a plan to do this, or are you just another politician who's happy to point out how bad things are?
Listen to me. I got a clear-cut plan for the future.
Okay.
Okay? Like Kevin said. I want to clean up traffic. Traffic's a big problem, okay?
Right.
No more if you have a hybrid or like a electric car or whatever, you could drive in the fast lane, okay? You could drive in that carpool.
Right.
Listen to me. If you can run on hydros, if you can make your car hit pancake motion,
right,
that means you can go in the carpool lane. And we have a board of cholos that come by and they say, okay, your car's pretty clean. That's a pretty clean Impala. Go ahead. Okay? So everybody out there, start working on your cars.
Okay.
I need to develop some capital. To give back to the people, okay? I want to stimulate the economy, give the money back to you.
Okay.
Okay? But first I need to generate some cash.
Okay, how are you going to do that?
80% tax on Laker flags.
80%
tax?
That's
right. $480 Laker flags now.
Wow.
$400 goes to me.
Wow.
Is that just because you hate Laker flags? You want to make them so expensive no one will buy them?
No, I'm just saying there's a lot of them, okay?
Yeah, there are a lot. That's
okay.
$2 million tariff on Lee Press on nails.
On what nails?
Lee Press on nails.
Oh, Lee Press on nails.
That's going to kill Hacienda Heights, Mayor.
Then, $10 million rebate to Home Depot.
$10 million rebate?
A rebate? Right. What do you mean?
I figure if we can open up about 15 more Home Depots, that's a lot of jobs for people. You know what I'm saying?
All because it gives people a chance to stay
out front. 10,000 more people waiting out in front looking for manual labor. Buy one, get one free on Nissan mini trucks.
Okay.
Those are nice, huh?
But yeah.
Little mini truck like that.
They're as nice as
ever. Can't be good for Nissan to be giving cars away, though.
2 days a week, free glamour shots.
Free glamour shots?
Yeah, you go down there and you pose, you put your hands underneath your chin like this, and your grandma says, oh, that's a cute picture of you, mijo. I was like, I know.
I don't know how that helps the economy, but okay.
All right, you go to pay your taxes come April.
Mm-hmm.
If your hyena has a muffin top,
right,
it's a write-off.
It's a write-off.
Oh, yeah. You just write in there. Nice. Look, my highness got a little poochies, and they come over to the top of her dickies, and she wears a little belly. And the guy with the government said, okay, hey, you get to keep her money.
So there's no taxes for people that...
You just write it off.
Okay.
If your girlfriend or your wife has a muffin top.
Okay. Yeah,
okay. Okay. All right. Noted.
And finally, a $3 trillion initiative to sign Manny Ramirez.
$3 trillion.
Yes. We got to get this done. It's very important to the city because I love to go to Dodger Stadium.
Right.
I love to go to Chavez Ravine, and it's good for the city to have him hit home runs. Okay?
Where's the stadium?
Huh?
Where's the stadium?
In Chavez Ravine.
Hmm. Okay.
All right? So let's all do it. Let's all work together as Los Angelinos, and we can make the city great again. Yeah!
What's... What's happening?
I'm here.
Did we just go to war? What's going on, Mr. Mayor?
Wow. Hey, don't look at me. You guys voted for him.
No, you ruined it.
Too many?
You ruined it. Too many. Too much of a good thing there. All right. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock ahead of Ralph Showbiz Beat. Just after the news at 7, former producer Lightning, now the grand poopah of K-Rock.com, is going to be coming in here. And he's going to help us give away some tickets.
You mean poobah?
Is it poobah? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
He's going to be helping us give away tickets for the Fast and the Furious 4, which, by the way, is better than it sounds. Ralph, you were telling us that they're doing this up big at the Gibson Amphitheater, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a major event. They're going to show the movie at the Gibson Amphitheater up there at Universal Studios. And then there's a big after party that you also get to attend.
Lightning claims to be able to identify any car by its engine if you rev it.
67 Nova.
He can tell you exactly what car you're driving?
Ah, 83 Sentra. Okay.
So in the next, maybe about 10 minutes from now, we're going to do a contest. And if you can pull over and not be on the freeway or whatever, and you can call in, then we're going to want you to, you know, call in your cell phone and then rev your engine. And Lightning will tell you what car you're driving.
You might want to clean out your carburetor, too. I'm hearing a bit of a knock.
All right. So you are going to need to be in your car.
Yes.
And you're also not going to be, you can't be driving. You're going to have to be able to be
in your driveway if you haven't left yet or pull over.
Yeah, yeah, freeway. Throw it in neutral.
I don't know that that's a good idea.
That's awesome.
Anyway, we'll take those calls in about 10 minutes or so if you want to plan accordingly. Right now, 6:53, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
No Doubt loves you.
They do.
No Doubt. If you buy a ticket to their concert this summer, their reunion tour, in essence, you get a little gift from the No Doubt crew. You get to download their entire catalog as a bonus.
Wow.
There you go. A little something extra for you, a little something.
For free?
For free!
After you buy the ticket? Wow.
You buy the ticket, you get to download their entire catalog.
That's pretty cool.
For nothing.
It's going to be great to have them back.
Ah, can't wait
to see
about
a band that doesn't need to offer incentives to get to people to buy their tickets, by the way.
Yeah, no
kidding.
They're
doing it just because they love you.
Touring with Paramore. Dave, the King of Mexico, by the way, is going to follow them everywhere.
Paramore and No Doubt for Dave. Can you imagine?
His head's going to explode.
And, by the way, speaking of Dave, the first new No Doubt single in a long time is going to debut on the May 11th episode of Gossip Girl.
Oh
I already love that show.
Can you believe the combo for Dave? He's going to have to wear plastic pants.
They're promoting straight at him.
They
it's
are.
Like he's the only fan that they're promoting to.
The new new No Doubt song, by the way, is a remake of the Adam and the Ants song, Stand and Deliver.
Which was a great song.
Stand and Deliver, all
great song.
Your money, all your life.
I don't remember that one.
You don't remember that by Adam and the Ants?
I remember you don't smoke, you don't drink, what do you?
You do, yeah.
That's the only one.
But their other hit was, Stand and Deliver, all your money, all your life.
Do they do it better than that?
No, I kick ass on that song.
All right.
We have it in the audio vault there, Rodney.
No, we used to play it back in the day.
We have Goody Two Shoes.
That's another one.
Desperate but Not Serious. Friend or Foe.
Strip. Oh.
Got all those.
I have to go buy it. Adam and the Ants. Greatest Hits CD now. They just said those things.
Just not the one you want.
Stand
we also have
money on your life.
We also have ABC Look of Love if we need that for any reason.
Yeah. Let's just play that instead of the Showbiz Beat. Let's just play Look of Love. Oh, God damn it.
Why do we have this?
Now, this greatest hit CD I do have.
ABC?
I do have ABC's greatest hit.
Wow.
It's in the car, actually.
And right now?
Yes. Whoa, whoa, whoa. When your world is full of strange arrangements.
All right. Okay, good. Wow.
Love that.
All right.
It's weird that Dave is actually going out on the road, though, to follow a band around like a deadhead. It's just weird that he's chosen that. But I guess he can't pass up a chance to see both of his girlfriends, Haley and Gwen, in the same place.
Is he a doubt head?
He's a doubt head.
Beside himself.
Yeah. Or a more head. I can't decide which.
One thing, yes, one thing.
The truth comes to gray skies to bloom. That's the look. That's the look. The look of love.
All right.
That's the look. Okay. That's the look.
Sorry I brought it up.
The look of love.
We also have a flock of seagulls if you need that.
I don't have that greatest.
Okay. Notes.
Congratulations to our pal Sarah Silverman. You know, there was some concern this week that her show, The Sarah Silverman Show, may go away.
Which is really a great show.
If you're not watching, you should. It's hilarious. Comedy Central apparently feeling the economic pinch like everyone else.
Yeah.
Was cutting back on their budgets, and they told the crew over there that they wanted to cut the production budget for the show by 20%.
Yeah.
And Sarah and her producer said, look, we just can't do the show for that money. We just can't do it. We might have to just walk away. But in the last second, Comedy Central's sister network Logo stepped in, and they've agreed to finance the co-finance the third season. So the network has approved 10 more episodes at the original budget. So all is well.
Will they run it on both networks? Or
I don't
know. I imagine they would have to.
Yeah.
Get something for it.
Yeah.
That is increasingly becoming the way that some of these shows are able to stay on the air is with those arrangements where more than one financing source comes through.
All I'm saying, it takes a lot to love you. All I'm
don't have it.
You know it's true. That's the look.
O-M-F-G.
Yes, Dave.
Martin Fry, lead singer for ABC.
Don't care.
Great, great voice.
Not a big fan.
When smoke is seen. A flock of seagulls.
The strangest showbiz beat ever.
80s dance party.
Rodney's going crazy at home.
All right, finally, a showbiz beat I can appreciate. Finally, they know what they're doing over there.
Today's celebrity birthday is Patsy Kensit. Very beautiful, talented actress and singer. Also the wife of one of the Gallagher brothers from Oasis.
I think she's married to Liam.
All right. You say
so? Do
you
remember her big hit song from the 80s, Ralph?
I don't.
Was it this?
For the Flock of Seagulls?
By the way, still the intro. I haven't started singing yet.
I walk along the avenue.
That's not that?
I think it was called Cross My Heart. It was a good little pop record she had. For just a minute, this actress decided she had a singing career. But then
she was a lead singer of a band called Eighth Wonder, too, for a short
time. That's right.
What are people talking about?
Patsy Kensit? You know, you'll know Patsy Kensit, Kevin. Is she played Mel Gibson's girlfriend in Lethal Weapon 2.
One. She was hot.
One or two.
She was way hot, yeah.
I don't
remember. Remember the one they kill and they throw her in the bottom of the bay and he's like down there and he sees her. She's all chained to the cinder block or whatever.
Lethal Weapon 2, yeah.
Hot British chick.
Yeah.
Lethal Weapon 2.
Woo! Pointless nostalgia. Yeah.
That's what this show's all about.
That's the look. That's the look. The look of life. Do a mashup between Look of Love and Iran. Steven Weber's fifth.
What?
What just happened? I'm thinking about other ABC songs in my head.
Oh.
Remember How to Be a Millionaire?
Oh,
I think we have
that.
No.
We have that one?
No, we don't have that
poison
one.
Poison Arrow.
Song. Oh, Poison Arrow. Put the Poison Arrow on.
All right.
She's having her own jukebox.
Oh, yeah. It's got 34 seconds. Do your birthday.
It's got the perfect double clap.
It does have the double clap of gayness.
Patricia Heaton from Everybody Loves Raymond is 51 years old today. And Catherine Harry, you've seen her all of Christopher Guest movies. She is 55 years old today. Here's ABC with Poison Arrow. I'm working on AMP.
Yeah, when do you start?
Okay, wait.
It doesn't come in for like another
minute. It does. I can feel it. It's coming up right now.
Nope.
Here we go. Ready? If I were to say to you, can you keep a secret? Would you know just what to do or where to keep it?
Nope.
Come on. Great song.
Yeah, all right, good.
Is Lightning jogging? What's he doing?
No, he's shadow boxing. He's getting
ready. Pumped up for his appearance here.
Psycho Mike, would you like to tell the Lightning story real quick about the commercial for this movie that came on in the Super Bowl party?
Oh, sure. We were at the Super Bowl party at the Hard Rock Cafe, and the commercial for the new Fast and the Furious movie came on, and I was hosting the party, so I had a microphone. Lightning snatches it out of my hands and says, "Oh!"
Which, by the way, is what you want a guy doing into a microphone.
Yeah.
Because that's not painful.
Best movie of the year? Yep, you're looking at it. Welcome back, Mr. Diesel.
Yeah.
And then he drops the mic with authority like he just wrecked wood.
Walked out.
Yeah. I don't you don't remember that at
well,
all?
Well, it looks like, you know what, the movie looks like great stunt work.
Sure.
But I don't know how you can be excited about Vin Diesel.
I had some shots in me at that point, too. Yeah, oh yeah.
All right.
The movie we are talking about is Fast and the Furious 4, by the way. Mr. Diesel is Vin Diesel, who has been reteamed with Paul Walker, also with Michelle Rodriguez and Jordana Brewster. They're all back together for this movie. It doesn't open for a while, but you get to see it March 12th at the Gibson Amphitheater at the red carpet world premiere.
That's
so
right.
It's a tremendous event, and we're going to give you a chance to earn them by – what are we calling this game? What's this one called?
We are calling it Rev It Up.
Yo, Rev It Up. Wiggity wah. Volkswagen, Cadillac, car, or truck. I'm going to guess what you drive because I don't give a – I'm going to guess what you drive, bitch. Don't be a player hater.
Okay.
Wow.
That was kind of a mess.
That just happened.
All right. So what do you need the callers to do, Lightning, as we get them on the line?
So here? I think what we're going to do is I'm going to guess what kind of car you drive based on the exhaust note or the engine sound. So what
so
I want
they
you
just,
to do.
They rev it?
Is yeah. No, this is going to be hard if you're in traffic.
Well,
but
can't
maybe
really
if you
do
pull
that.
Over. Yeah. But I want you to take your cell phone and hold it out. Give it a couple gooses on the gas. And we'll see
and
if I can guess what
kind
of car it is.
Car.
Yeah, I'm going to try.
Okay.
There's a lot of makes and models out there, so, you know.
But you're good at this.
I think so, yeah.
I call Lightning like once a day, and I rev my engine. He goes, he knows exactly what it is. It's really weird.
Same car, Kevin. Still same car.
Jessica in Glendale. Good morning.
Get to the Golgi yesterday.
Hey, Jessica, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, Jessica.
You are not of driving age, I'm guessing.
I just have a high voice, and okay. I get fun of for it all the time, but I'm a good administrative assistant because I pick up the phone all the time, so people
okay,
like
all right.
Okay, all right, so we'll be quiet. We want you to rev your engine, give it a couple of good bursts, and then Lightning will identify your auto.
Okay, hold on.
Ooh, oh, interesting.
What was that, Lightning?
That was tough. That was a, it sounded like a six-cylinder. I'm going to say that was, but it topped out early at like 4,000 RPM. So it's got to be American. Something, yeah, something lame. I'm going with like a Chevy Cobalt.
Chevy Cobalt. Jessica?
That is very wrong. I have a foreign car.
She has a foreign car.
Oh. What is it?
It's a 2000 Mitsubishi Mirage.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was the other one. He was melting that one. Man. I could think of that. Right.
Yeah. Sorry. All right. You're going to be Fast and the Furious red carpet premiere and after party, by the way. Congratulations. Let's move on
Shake
to Jeff.
Off,
next
light.
One. All right. Next one. Come on. Here we go. Here we go. Let's go.
Jeff is in Seal Beach on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Jeff. You ready to rev it up?
Yeah. What up, London? What's the stuff?
All right. Lighting's okay. Going to be able to tell us your car. Rev the engine.
Are you ready? Here we go.
I'm ready. Well, that's tough. That's just a lot of air. Were you holding it right in front of the exhaust pipe? What's going on there?
I think he was just blowing into his own.
I don't have a car.
Hold on, let me tweak my hamsters again. Hold on.
Okay, no better. What's he driving?
Okay, wow. Ooh, interesting. I'm going with a...
wait, what's interesting?
Price. Well, because it had a lot of air, but it wasn't turbo or supercharged.
Sure,
because you couldn't hear any whine.
Clearly.
I'm going with a Chrysler 300C.
Jeff?
That's V8 power, bud. That's American-made V8 power. Chevy Silverado.
Silverado.
A Silverado.
Yes.
Oh,
really?
Oh, so close. Yeah, see? American, though.
Right there.
Yep.
All right, world premiere, Fast and the Furious. Congratulations.
Right on.
You have a 50-50 chance of American or Ford, though, right, Light? I mean, it really is not all that impressive.
Yeah, but it's
get
not
that
like
much.
Someone's calling me with a Honda Civic. Ring, you know, you can guess one of those.
Of course.
Stephanie is in West Covina on line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time to rev it up. Good morning, Stephanie. Ready to go for the tickets?
Hi, Lisa May.
Hi.
All right, rev your engine. Lightning will tell you what car you're
all right.
Okay. Nice rev.
Ooh, wow. Interesting.
That was a good rev.
Yeah.
Sexy rev.
It was.
Mm. Light, what do you think?
He actually does get tough. Some information off of this.
I'm
it's bizarre.
I'm thinking that is a... ooh, this is tough.
It's either this American is, or foreign. I can't quite narrow it down.
I'm going with a...
Well, you're going to have to guess at some point because...
Right, a Dodge Caliber.
Dodge Caliber, Stephanie.
No.
What is it?
A what?
1990 Honda Civic.
I was going to say Honda Civic.
I was
going to say that!
Wait a minute. Do that again. Let me hear that again. Hold on, guys.
What are you going to say no?
One more time.
Here.
Do it again.
Clearly Civic. That says Civic to me.
No, it does not.
I guessed it, and you did.
Yeah, no.
You're bad.
She's lying.
Right.
She's lying.
We just have time for one more. It's going to be Brian in Ventura on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. We may give away a few more off the air, so do hang on
this
if we
is
don't
ridiculous.
Reach your
no, you're doing well. Brian?
Yep.
Come
good
on.
Morning.
You ready to rev your engine?
I'm so ready.
All right,
man.
Go ahead.
All right.
All right.
We're listening to a lot of horses right there, my friend.
It's a good one.
I'm going with a Peugeot.
Peugeot?
I'm kidding.
That's got to be a joke. Wow.
No, that is, I'm going with an Acura TL.
I'm going with Ford
F-150. Ford F-150?
Yep.
The opposite.
Okay, Kevin, you're closer. It's a Ford van. It's my work
there you go.
Interesting.
Oh, okay.
Kevin should have played this game.
I got two of them pretty close.
Yeah.
Lightning, zero.
The movie doesn't open until April 3rd. You're going to be seeing it at the Gibson with the red carpet premiere and after party. Fast and the Furious 4. Congratulations, Brian. Thanks for calling. Thanks for playing. Rev it up. Yeah. Good morning, Ralph Kramer. What do you got going on?
Why do you hate me?
Why do we hate you?
What are you talking about?
It's always funny to hear your hatred for these bad movies. That's
you guys
why.
Keep giving me this assignment of watching the worst movies ever made.
You're the
then
movie
I have to
guy.
Come in and give a book report on them.
How long have you had Fireproof? How long have you had it in your possession, but hadn't gone through it yet?
I've been holding onto this for about 3 weeks. This one I've been scared of. This was like Mystery Science Theater for me. I was just kind of putting it off as long as possible.
Now, wasn't Fireproof a movie that came out a few months ago that shockingly was near the top of the box office charts for a few weeks, and none of us had ever heard it? We didn't know what it was. We didn't know who was in it. It was just like a mystery to us, right?
But, you know, I'll have you know, it was the number one inspirational movie in America.
What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Oh.
But that's what it says on the cover of the DVD box here.
Okay.
Well, then it did.
It made a lot of money. It was in the top 10 for a while.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out that Fireproof is made by a company called Sherwood Films.
Okay.
And what they do is...
bad movies?
Yeah, but it's all Christian.
Yeah.
Christian movies.
Oh, it's a Christian
market
theme?
For that.
Yes, and Kirk Cameron stars in all of them, all of their movies, I think.
Is it his company or something?
I think he has something to do with it. And Kirk Cameron, for those of you who don't remember, played Mike Seaver on the old Growing Pains TV sitcom.
Right.
And he left that show and found Jesus, and he and his wife Chelsea Noble are holy rollers, and all he does now is make God movies, makes Christian movies.
And this one is called Fireproof, and it's time for Ralph's Video Vault.
I like to call movies like this Christian porn, because if you take a porn movie with all the acting and writing talent therein,
right,
and then you take out all the sex, and instead of the sex scenes, you put in scenes people talking about how you need to take Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior.
That's what it
same
is.
Same movie. Mm. Same exact movie.
Wow.
The one thing this movie proves, Fireproof proves, is that Christians can't act.
Oh.
The cast of this movie looks like someone looked around a church and said, hey, you guys want to make a movie? I got a camera. Okay, you play the dad. You play Captain Caleb Holt, the firefighter. That's who Kirk Cameron plays in this movie. He is the captain of a firefighting squad.
Okay.
And he knows a lot about firefighting, saves a lot of lives, but he's got some problems at home in his marriage.
Mm.
And here is when we first meet Captain Caleb Holt. He is talking to one
sounds
of
like
his,
he should be on Fastlane.
Talking to one of his firemen. And I think that they're doing this to show us that little Mike Seaver is all grown up now. He's a man, and he's a fire captain.
Here we go.
This ain't no gang. You playing with people's lives.
Come on, man.
Eric, he's got a right to be upset with you. You left him in a dangerous spot and tried to be a hero.
The captain, I thought I heard someone calling for help.
It was coming from outside the building.
But it was so dark. I mean, I couldn't see anything.
That's why you stay with your partner. He had no choice but to assume that something happened to you and you needed his help. You never leave your partner, especially in a fire.
You never leave your partner.
Man.
He has every right to be angry with you.
I know. That's what he sounded like.
I am the captain of this firehouse.
I am outraged.
I am very upset with you and the fact that you two guys were under me because I am the chief. You guys are fighting. And you never leave your partner.
Oh, I never leave your partner. Could this have something to some sort of oblique message about marriage? Could that be?
Don't
could
leave
it be?
Your partner.
Well, it turns out that Caleb Holt has problems at home.
Uh-oh.
He and his wife are constantly fighting. Their marriage is on the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And because this is a Christian movie, the main cause is Caleb Holt keeps looking at porn on the internet.
Oh, really?
How dare he?
Oh, man.
Oh, you mean like that's the downfall?
Insult the covenant of marriage by looking at naked women on the internet, you pornographer, you Satan worshiper, you. Well, that just leads to all kinds of arguments at home. And his poor wife, she feels humiliated by the fact that he not only is looking for porn on the internet,
right,
but he's saving up to buy himself a boat.
What?
She's very angry about that. I never quite understood why during the course of the film. But here is just one of the many fights we see in the first half of this film.
You know what? If looking at that trash is how you get fulfilled, that's fine, but I will not compete with it.
Well, I sure don't get it from you.
And you won't, because you care more about saving for your stupid boat and pleasing yourself than you ever did about me.
Shut up! I'm sick of you! You disrespectful, ungrateful, selfish woman!
Wow.
Yeah.
He's acting his ass off.
Wow.
Well, you can't call her a bitch because you can't use that kind of language in this movie.
So
he has to call her a selfish woman.
They try to write around the fact that he's watching porn. It's like, that trash that you watch on the internet that we won't say what it is, but I know you are looking at bad things and you pleasure yourself when you think about it. You are an ungrateful, selfish woman! You harlot! As Delilah was to Samson, you are to me, thou art woman!
You're listening to Ralph's Video Vault. Fireproof is the name of the movie.
All right.
How fat did his wife get, Ralph? I don't know. Who's the actress who's played his wife, and how fat is she?
Erin Bethia is her name. And apparently her only other credit is another one of these inspirational movies as well. So there's a stock company they seem to pull from. I can just see the director say, okay, Kirk, you're really angry now, so just scream. Just scream till your voice breaks. Just really get loud here. Well, he's at his wit's end. They're heading for divorce. She's going to file papers because, you know, he looks at that trash on the internet and he's saving for a boat.
And he wants a boat.
Yeah. So he's got to go to his dad for advice. And dad has a plan.
I'm going to send you something in the mail.
What is it?
It's what saved our marriage.
Dad, if this is a religious thing, I'd rather you didn't.
Look at it as a gift from your father.
Ooh, a gift from your father.
Yes,
could that have
father?
A double meaning?
Interesting.
Mm.
And what dad sends him in the mail is something called the love dare.
Why doesn't he just hand it to him?
Because
he's right there.
To him.
Why does he
because
have to mail it?
The Lord works in mysterious ways, Kevin.
All right.
And the love dare is a book that has 40 different things that you must do for 40 days. 40 days? 40 nights?
Right.
Significance, okay.
And you have to do these, and they're all based on verses from the Bible. Like Luke 13:19 says, thou shalt not raise your voice to thine wife when looking at internet porn or something.
Really?
And so he's got to, it's all based, one a day, he's got to do these things for his wife.
Okay.
And if he follows through on this, not only will Jesus come into his heart, but he will be able to save his marriage. You see, that's the plan.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm not interested in your crazy religious stuff, Dad.
I'd rather do that you did not
I
do that.
I am secular. I am bad.
I want a boat.
But he begrudgingly, he's willing to do anything, so he begrudgingly starts the love dare.
Okay.
And he gets support from his buddy Michael, who's also a fireman in the firehouse, who is also born again. And he gives him some advice as well.
Caleb, when two people get married, it's for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health.
I know that. But marriages aren't fireproof. Sometimes you get burned.
Fireproof doesn't mean that a fire will never come, but that when it comes, you'll be able to withstand it.
That's right.
Wow.
Fireproof.
He's a hell of an actor, too, by the way, Rob.
Everyone in this movie. It is so bad.
They are really acting.
I thought this movie would never end. I was watching. I said, this is killing me. This is the worst ever. Just when I thought it was over, it kept going and going and going.
But this isn't worse than, like, Bait Shop and those. What is it?
I owe such an apology to Bill Engvall after watching this film.
Because Bait Shop was terrible, too.
But at least he's some semblance of a performer. He cobbles together something that appears to be performance-like.
Yeah.
There's none of that in this film. Well, he keeps doing the dares. He keeps doing the thing day after day. He does some biblically referenced homage to his wife and his marriage. But she's not having it. She doesn't. She's out. She doesn't appreciate it. She doesn't care about it. She's not responding. And so Caleb has to go back to his dad and say, Dad, it's just not working. You know, I love her, and I'm doing all these things, but she's not giving me any appreciation. And he said, well, it's because you haven't taken God in your heart. God gives the ultimate example of how to love. And just when you need your dad's advice, when you need a comforting shoulder to cry on, when you need a dad to put his arm around you and say things are going to be okay, here's the advice that dad offers up.
Son, God loves you even though you don't deserve it.
Thanks, Dad. Thanks, I appreciate that.
And I'm going to mail you something else.
Thanks for making me feel good about myself.
Go home and wait by the mailbox.
You're a porn-loving son of a bitch.
You're a piece of crap, son.
You want a boat.
Can we squeeze in Bob from Hollywood really quickly? Because he had a run-in with Kirk Cameron.
Oh, did he?
Bob?
What's going on, guys?
Kirk Cameron came to your fire station?
Oh, my God. I can't believe he did this to us.
To do some research, right?
Yeah, he did. He asked us a whole bunch of questions.
Did he try to give you any literature?
No, he was actually really cool. He was just asking us a bunch of questions like, hey, how's it with your wife and everything? And I'm like, hey, she's a pain in the ass.
Thank God I have porn to get me through it.
Did he say I'm going to mail you something?
His dad's going to mail you something, Bob.
Bob, did you go see the movie knowing that he had done the research at your fire station?
Oh, I'm hearing about it
freaking
right now.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Well, it's available on DVD now if you're interested, Bob.
You can pick it up, Bob. Thank you for the call. That's awesome.
So Caleb decides he has to do this. He has to give his heart over to Jesus or else this isn't going to work. And so he breaks the good news to his buddy Michael, who's born again in the firehouse there, that he is also going to join the faith. And Michael is very excited.
You're really in.
I'm really in.
Because you can't be half in and say you're in. You got to be all in, brother.
I'm saying I'm all in.
Oh, Caleb, I can't believe it, man. Oh, yeah. You're my brother.
I'm your brother?
Yeah, man. You're my brother from another mother. But now we got the same father.
What?
I'll explain it to you later, man. This is awesome.
I don't understand. What do you mean that we have the same father now?
I
I know what that means. How can you be so stiff?
I'm confused by your vague biblical references.
Why are we brothers? We have different parents. I don't get it.
We are brothers. What does that mean, African-American, when you say we are brothers? Do you mean in some African-American way?
I'll explain it to you later. This is awesome.
This is awesome. So he continues on. He continues on to try to fight for his marriage, despite his wife not responding, because she hasn't found Jesus yet.
Okay.
And she finally comes across the book that his dad has sent him.
The 40 Dare book or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. And things are starting to dawn on her now.
How long have you known?
I found it yesterday. So what day are you on?
43.
There's only 40.
Who says I have to stop?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
See?
He's in now.
He's making
he's
up his own. Yeah.
He is committed. He's coming up with new things to do to prove his love.
It's funny but that she doesn't realize it until day 43. It must not be very impressive.
Hey, wait a minute. What's this book he's working from? Well, she gets swayed over by the power of Jesus and by his newfound commitment to their relationship.
Okay.
And she shows up at the firehouse in a teary final scene. Where she says, "I forgive you for looking at internet
bad
porn
things,
and for the trash, and also for saving for a boat."
Okay,
because he takes the money he was saving for a boat,
yes,
and he buys his her mother, who's had a stroke, a new wheelchair, the hospital bed.
Is that one of the dares?
No, he does that out of his newfound Jesus fueled love. He takes his selfish money he was raising for a boat for himself, and he buys his mother-in-law, who's been stricken with a stroke, a powered wheelchair and a new hospital bed.
Okay.
And she finds out about that, and she is just so moved by his generosity that she comes to him in the firehouse and says, "I want to be saved too. How do I find Jesus?" And they have a huge make-out embrace. Now, you have to keep in mind, while they're kissing in the scene, it's shot from the back, and it's backlit, so you can't see the actress, because Kirk Cameron refused to kiss the actress who plays his wife in the movie, and they had to bring in his real wife and put a wig on her so he could kiss her.
Is that right? I forgot. Yes. You mentioned
because
that at the time, right?
He won't kiss any other actresses other than his wife, because that's against God.
Sure.
Okay?
Okay.
And so they're making out, and Michael's looking at the window. His buddy from the fire is looking out the window, and he's thrilled because he can see the power of Jesus has brought them back together. And the rest of the guys in the firehouse are like, "Hey, what's going on?" And this is the final scene.
Hey, what are you looking at?
Hey, back up. There ain't nothing to see here.
Wow, what's going on?
Go back to your business. Caleb's in there starting a fire.
Why is he starting a fire in the bay?
It ain't that kind of fire. Go back to your business. Go, hey. Timmy? Put you on cleanup duty.
Yeah. Come on.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That didn't just happen.
Power of Jesus.
That did not just happen.
Couldn't Jesus have given them a little talent if he really wanted this story to be told? Couldn't he? Couldn't he just imbue the screenwriters with some talent at all, or any of the actors? Couldn't he come down and just touch them for a one scene and just let them give a performance? Couldn't he have? Isn't he all-knowing, all-powerful? Couldn't he have made this a movie that you could watch?
Well, if they were starting their own fire.
Yeah, see? Nothing to see here. Why is he starting a fire in the firehouse? No, it ain't that kind of fire. I'm a brother of another mother with this man. Everyone go clean up.
Did he ever explain what he meant by the different
Never
father, same
it.
Father?
I think Caleb is still confused to this day.
That's sad.
Yeah.
All right, so fireproof. You would recommend it?
I would say burn it and see if it really is fireproof.
Kevin, it means April Foolishness. April 3rd at the Gibson Amphitheater has Jimmy Kimmel, also Jay Moore, Kevin Nealon, Patton Oswalt, Joe Rogan, Ray Romano, Jeffrey Ross, Sarah Silverman, Jimmy's house band from the TV show Cleater and the Cleetones are going to be performing. It's a fantastic night of comedy. It's the first time we've ever done anything like this. And tickets are going on sale Thursday at 5. Lisa May made an excellent point when we were unveiling this on Monday. The cheap seats at the Gibson for our show, and what a show it is, by the way, $25, right?
You're right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's great for this. I mean, you'd pay that to see almost any one of these on their own, and you're getting them all for $25. And the proceeds are all going to the Boarding for Breast Cancer, which is a great charity. Once you add in the Ticketmaster fees, $2,100
is odd,
it turns out to be. I mean, $25 for the ticket, and then the rest is all service fees. What's up with that?
We did our part.
And here's the problem, just so everyone understands. Most of these venues have a long-term contract with Ticketmaster. So if Gibson Amphitheater, if we wanted to go around Ticketmaster, Gibson Amphitheater couldn't do it.
Right. It's not, we don't have a choice.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of emails from people who said, "Hey, I know how you guys feel about the Ticketmaster. Why do you use them? It's cases like this where we are boxed in." Well, things may be changing ever be so slowly. We have Lindsay Camuso on the phone right now. I hope I got your name right, Lindsay. You are the co-founder of the Fair Ticketing Fund. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Very good. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for joining us. Now, you work in the ticket business, or what's your deal?
Yes, I do. I am the co-founder and vice president of ShowClix Ticketing, and it's a Pittsburgh-based ticketing company that provides online and box office solutions to venues and promoters around the country.
Okay. So you have been working in competition with Ticketmaster for a long time then, right?
Yeah, several years now. We launched the company about 2.5 years ago.
And you probably hear, I don't know what, I don't know specifically what your company does that's different. Maybe you'll tell us about that. But you certainly have heard the frustrations that people have had that are really starting to boil over with the way Ticketmaster does business.
Oh, absolutely. We get calls every day from people that are looking specifically for a solution that is not Ticketmaster.
Right. And now that they've merged with Live Nation, or they're merging with Live Nation, that seems all bad. So tell us about when the contracts are up. What do you know about the timing of that?
So, I mean, all of these contracts, I mean, we launched the Fair Ticketing Fund about 2 weeks ago. So just to kind of fill you in on the Fair Ticketing Fund, it's a program that we created to help venues and promoters become independent of Ticketmaster and Live Nation. So we announced this about 2 weeks ago, and we've received dozens of calls from venues and promoters around the country so far that their contracts are getting ready to expire over the next couple of months. So as these contracts are coming to an end, they're looking to leave.
Okay, and how do you help them?
So what we're going to do is through the program, we're going to provide them with a free ticketing system. So we'll get them set up for free, tens of thousands of dollars in funding to help them promote their events against Ticketmaster Live Nation, and then a significant reduction in service fees for their ticket buyers. So we're going to offer them the absolute lowest service fees we possibly can for their ticket buyers.
And now, where's your money coming from?
Yeah, where are you getting that from?
So we founded the fund. We set aside a portion of our budget for this year and are dedicating it to this program. And then in addition to that, what we're going to do is we're going to take a portion of our monthly revenues from all of our ticketing clients and keep contributing to this fund throughout the year.
And that's just to help people who don't think they can do it financially, that they need to sign with Ticketmaster because they don't really have any option?
Why is it hard to get away from Ticketmaster? What is it that they do for people that makes them need to stay with them?
Well, number one, it's the agreements. Number two, people don't want to compete against Live Nation. So by working with Ticketmaster Live Nation, you know, you're kind of tapping into the resources that they can provide. And a lot of that is promotional. So, you know, they have all of your data. They have all of your email lists. They have contact with all of these people in the cities around the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't...
It's confusing,
yeah. So all the places that their contract runs out this year... They can come to you and you will work with them to try and set up a separate system. But how long can you do it for free? I mean, you said the ticketing was for free, right?
Well, the ticketing system is for free. We will charge a service fee on every ticket sold through the system. It's going to be a single service fee, the lowest that we can possibly make it.
And so, give us a general idea of what that is.
Yeah, so for example, you know, and we've seen this a lot, you know, on a $30 ticket, our service fee is $3.75 per ticket.
Okay.
And that's it. There's no additional charges.
Okay.
But what if I want to print a ticket? Don't you charge me more?
All right, let me go through the Ticketmaster fees for our show that's coming up for the Kevin and Bean, first annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. We're putting the most expensive seats are $99 plus a $4.75 facility fee. Can you not, you don't need to charge that?
The facility fee?
Yeah. No? Okay. Plus a $12.50 Ticketmaster fee. Plus, by the way, on top of that is a $3.40 per order fee. So $12.50 per ticket and then $3.40 per order.
What is that about? That just sounds like they're making stuff up, Lindsay. I mean, seriously.
They are. They are, really. I mean, if you were working through ShowClix to do the show, it would be an $8 service fee on every ticket, and that's it.
And then if you want to print them at home using your own ink and paper, they would charge you another $2.50.
Damn.
For the convenience of printing it.
Yeah, we do side-by-side comparisons for a lot of the people that we talk to, and they're blown away once they see the savings that they can offer the ticket buyers. And we've talked to a lot of people, too, that when they switch over to a system where it's not charging the high service fees, their online ticket sales immediately increase. So obviously people are going out of their way to not buy tickets online through Ticketmaster.
Yeah,
they're driving
absolutely.
20 minutes to the venue just so they don't have to pay the service fee.
Sure. It's
sure.
worth it.
I totally understand that. Yeah, I mean, it's tough enough to have disposable income these days to buy tickets to go see a show on top of all the fees. All right, let me ask you one more question, Lindsay, and you're awesome to come on and explain this to us, and we're very optimistic with the program that you've described because it sounds like it's a win-win. But because of the power of Ticketmaster and Live Nation, are some of these venues that walk away from Ticketmaster and maybe sign with your Fair Ticketing Fund, are they then going to be passed over the next time some of the Live Nation artists want to come through town? Like maybe, No Doubt says, well, then I'm not going to play the Gibson Amphitheater because I've got this arrangement, because I'm Live Nation and I represent that band. I don't want them to play at a place that doesn't use Ticketmaster to sell tickets.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's definitely that fear factor. And, I mean, that happens now. I know we're based out of Pittsburgh, for example. There's a Live Nation office in Cleveland, which is only an hour and 45 minutes away from here.
Right.
Uh-huh.
People pass up Pittsburgh all the time already to go play Cleveland. So, if we can, provide some funding to these promoters and venues, maybe they'll have some extra money to book some of these artists, give them a little bit more than they typically would to bring them to our city.
Sure. I got you. Okay.
So they do have, the artists do have that option then?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Well,
unless they're signed with Live Nation.
It's very exciting news. We were initially excited when we heard Live Nation was going to be Ticketmaster's competition. We thought that would change things. And, of course, they ended up attempting to merge, and it looks like that is going to happen. So now I guess we're going to pin our hopes on the Fair Ticketing Fund and hope that that works out. For people who want more information, what's a good website for them to check it out?
Yeah, go to it's www.showclix.com, and it's showclix.com.
Okay.
There's a link to the Fair Ticketing Fund page on that homepage. And then, in addition, what was really cool is, not only did we receive a lot of emails from venues and promoters, but fans, live music fans from around the country have been
sure.
emailing us asking how they can help. We also have a link on there where fans can email us. And we're going to share your thoughts with the local venues and event promoters as we're working with them to get them switched over to ShowClix.
That's a great idea. We're happy to put a link up on our website at KRock.com, too. Lindsay Camuso, co-founder of Fair Ticketing Fund. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
Thanks, guys.
San Diego. Happy happens. I'm Lisa May with KRock Traffic.
Never bumped into my ears.
Never? Not once?
No, I don't think so.
When's the last time you went to San Diego, man?
Smile a lot.
San Diego big or San Diego home?
Yeah. That one, yeah.
That dude did like that one.
He liked that one.
Didn't like any of the other ones.
Happy happens.
Yeah. He liked that one too, unfortunately. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Well, if you need a good caterer for your next party, I suggest you don't ask Elton John.
Why is that?
Well, he's not a caterer.
No, but the caterer he used for his Oscar party didn't turn out so well. According to the New York Post, several of his guests wound up extremely sick after eating at the party. Some people were down with food poisoning for several days.
Oh.
That's not how you want to celebrate the Oscars.
No, it isn't.
I'm on the verge of vomiting right now.
Yeah. Ellen DeGeneres has a problem with Portia de Rossi.
No, she doesn't.
Yes, she does. Apparently, Portia always kept borrowing her Porsche.
Ah.
Ellen drives a Porsche.
Yeah.
And Porsche was...
Well, of course she
driving
does.
Driving the Porsche.
She sure does.
I meant the car. You're the trash you watch on the internet with your boats. So she had to solve the problem by buying Porsche, her own Porsche Carrera, which is worth about $115,000. So,
wow, that's a reasonable solution.
Now that's how you solve problems in a marriage,
yeah.
Cameron.
Yep. Take care of your lady.
Lisa, are you excited about the Cheech and Chong Broadway musical?
I didn't even know about it.
They're just announced. They're talking about a Broadway musical based on all the classic musical bits Cheech and Chong did over the years on their comedy albums.
That sounds promising.
Are they just going to turn everything into a musical?
Pretty
now?
Much. Sounds
hopefully.
Like
are we going to have Kevin and Bean the musical?
In a perfect world.
Remember Mike the Headless Chicken the musical?
Oh, sure.
Yes.
I do.
That was wildly popular.
That was huge.
Especially with management here at K-Rock. But I think it's time maybe to put that back up on the boards.
The
sure.
Great White Way.
Why not?
Yeah.
They're going to call this Born in East L.A.? That's the only song I remember that they did.
They did Basketball Jones,
yeah.
too.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's yeah. right. Yeah.
Dave's Not Home. Is that music?
Sure.
Sister Mary Elephant.
Yeah. Let's Make a New Dope Deal.
All right. Are you high? I am.
Mm-hmm. Mike, are you excited about the new Iron Maiden movie?
Yes.
It's called Flight 666. The movie is a documentary shot in 2008 that had lead singer Bruce Dickinson flying Iron Maiden around the world in a souped-up 747.
Come on.
Turns out Bruce is also a licensed pilot.
He was the pilot?
He was the pilot.
Wow.
I don't know if I want the lead singer of Iron Maiden flying my 747, quite frankly. The movie's coming out on April the 21st. It'll be shown in 400 theaters all over the world, but just for one day.
Why?
I have no idea. It's going to be April the 21st that will show it all over the world, and then it's going to go away. They're calling it Maiden Day. And you can check it out, and then the film, of course, will eventually come out on Blu-ray and DVD. But mark your calendars. Woo! April 21st.
I haven't been following the Maiden in recent years, Mike. Are they any good anymore? Are they still rock?
Touring-wise, yeah, they're amazing. You go see them live now, they're excellent. They really work hard on like keeping their chops up and like that the whole big spooky stage presence, you know, with the puppets and the fireworks and stuff.
Daryl McDaniels. Name sound familiar to you?
Run DMC?
He was DMC of Run DMC. He's got a new reality series. It's going to be a show in which Daryl will host and produce that will allow up-and-coming rappers to compete by coming up with songs that don't glorify violence, degrade women, or use profanity.
Oh, yeah!
That sounds like great rap music.
It sure does.
Is Kirk Cameron a judge? That trash. So, if you want to see some clean rap, Daryl McDaniels is trying to bring it back.
Yeah!
I think there's a place for that.
All right.
You know, rap artists might have to get a little more creative, actually, if they didn't have those tools to work with. Could come up with some interesting stuff. And lastly, congratulations to our buddy Kevin Smith. According to the Daily Variety, Kevin has been tapped to direct a new comedy. The first time ever Kevin has directed something he hasn't written, by the way. In the world of feature films, he's coming in as just the director in a project called A Couple of Cops. Originally, the title of the movie was called A Couple of Dicks. I'm not kidding.
Really?
Yeah. Because Dick is a nickname
private
for a detective
eye.
Or right, a private eye. Right.
Right.
But I guess they thought that was too racy, so it's going to be called A Couple of Cops, but isn't nearly as entertaining.
No.
Starring Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan as partners.
I'm in,
too.
Okay.
I like both
Bruce
of them.
Bruce Willis, what are you doing? Be a lot of that. But Kevin Smith directing. Kevin Smith, Bruce Willis, and Tracy Morgan.
How about that?
You know, Bruce and Kevin apparently have wanted to work together ever since Die Hard, when they worked together. So, finally they get a project off the ground. Congratulations.
Cool.
Today's celebrity birthday is Catherine O'Hara, is 55 years old today. Patricia Heaton from Everybody Loves Raymond is 51. Steven Weber turns 48. And actress Patsy Kensit, also married to Liam Gallagher of Oasis, she is 41 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Go Lakers! Go, go, go Lakers! Lakers, 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 Lakers! Boston sucks. Dude. Lakers. Seriously. Seriously. Lakers! Lakers! Lakers!
They got some fans. There's some fans for the Los Angeles Lakers these days.
Do you have more?
Why? We still have Jordan on the phone?
We're still waiting.
Let's see what else I got.
Lakers!
There you go.
Lakers! Lakers!
Oh, not that one. We don't need that one. That's not the one we want.
Come on.
Let's see what else I got.
The Lakers is over!
No, apparently not. That's sorry, right. Clipper Daryl. That's not the case.
Although I do.
Lakers!
Just one more. That's not the case either. Mm. All right.
Lakers!
All right, we're fine. I think do we have him now? I think we got him now.
Sure.
Lakers point guard Jordan Farmar is a talented basketball player. From his days at Taft High School to UCLA, he's always been in the spotlight.
Here comes Barry with Vujicic back. You don't get it.
We have the whole city behind us, and everybody's happy, energetic, and excited. So we're looking forward to continuing this season the way we've been going.
Farmar at the buzzer, banks it in. The basket.
I want to win every game, you know. I want to do as much as I can.
Farmar, it's a three. Bang! At the buzzer.
I judge myself harder than anybody could judge me. You know, I work extremely hard.
Farmar fills it up. Farmar and the Lakers lead off the turnover.
We came out ready to play and got it done.
Farmar wide open. Yes! Double-digit lead. Farmar with the sweet stroke.
Far Bar
number
with
five.
A sweet stroke is how that one ended, by the way.
Yeah. I rented that one weekend. It was wild. Jordan Farbar is on the line on the Kevin Beach on KROQ for the first time. We hope we'll talk to him forever because he's awesome and the Lakers are awesome. And Jordan, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing great. Very exciting. There's so much intensity these days. Every single night, it seems like you guys are out there playing for the playoffs.
That's really what it is. I mean, last year, we made a long run and came up short. Boston had home court advantage, which gave them a little edge at the end. So, you know, we know how important that is and how bad it felt to come up on the short side. We want to do everything in our power to put ourselves in the best situation to make that happen this time around.
When you were playing at Taft High School, the team pretty much built around you. At UCLA, you were right in the center of everything that was happening. Is it difficult to be that role player and come off the bench and kind of just contribute in any way that you possibly can and not be right in the middle of it?
Yeah, it definitely is. But that's part of being a professional and being a champion. You know, everybody has to accept their role. I'm young. I'm 22 years old. I have plenty more years in this league, and at times it gets hard to see that and kind of look to the future and just play in the moment. But it's definitely necessary, and it's all worth it if at the end of the year we're holding up that trophy and standing on stage in front of a big parade outside of Staples Center. So
yeah, that would help, right?
Yeah, that would definitely help. That's what makes it all that much sweeter at the end. All you sacrificed, you and your teammates did everything you could to make it happen.
And one of the things that has been so impressive about the Lakers, especially in the last couple of seasons, is you guys play so well together as a team. It almost seems like not just guys like you have that attitude, but almost everybody out there on the floor has the attitude that I'm just going to play my part and I don't necessarily have to be the focus. I just need to do whatever it takes.
Yeah, I mean, on a championship caliber team, everybody has to have a role. And you have to do it. You have to buy into the system and buy into the team and do what you can to make that happen. You know, there's tons of great players in the NBA, but it's the great teams that end up winning, and we're just trying to be that.
I'll tell you, it's good as a fan, too, to have guys come off the bench like Lamar Odom before he was starting, and you and Trevor Ariza and guys like that, where you go, yes, they're in, fantastic. We don't have a problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the beauties of having such a deep team. We have so much talent that you know, anybody can pick up the slack. If I get hurt, you know, some other people can come in and play, and we're not really in trouble. Andrew Bynum, one of the best players in the league right now, goes down, and we don't miss a beat. It's because we're so deep and so talented. So that's a great, you know, asset for us.
How did you come back so quickly, speaking of being injured, from your knee surgery? It was about half the time that they were guessing you would come back.
They told me that when I first got it done, I walked out, and they're like, you know, we need you to sit at home for the first couple of days with ice on your knee for 8 hours. And I was really at home for 8 hours with my watching TV, watching the Lakers play the Celtics, you know, mad that I couldn't be out there.
Right.
I sat there and did everything that I was asked, and I wanted to get back. I was going to make sure I wasn't coming back too soon because I wanted to be happy. It didn't want to happen again.
Right, right.
But at the same time, you know, I was anxious, and it's my job to be out there, you know, take care of my body, and when I'm ready, then I have no reason not to come back.
Right. This is Jordan Farmar on the line from the Los Angeles Lakers on the phone. Of course, the Lakers' next game is going to be against the Timberwolves Friday night at Staples Center. Jordan, I want to ask you to go back about 5 years in your mind. Kevin mentioned that you played for Taft, and they've been in the news an awful lot lately. I don't know if you've had a chance to follow it with a hazing incident that happened over there. Did you go through anything like that when you were playing either high school or college ball with the hazing?
No, not so much to the extent that it went to there that I heard about. You know, I wasn't there, so I can't really speak much on it, but, you know, I just think it's probably kids being kids. You have some sort of a rite of passage when you're on the team. You know, in the NBA, the rookies get treated like, like a stepchild, having to do all the work, pass out the laundry, pick up the bags off the plane, all the little stuff. So that's part of, you know, being young and being an athlete and things like that. You know, sometimes it just gets taken a little too far.
Yeah, of course, yeah. You guys spend so much time together as a team, and you're traveling all the time, and you're so busy. But do you ever get a chance during the season to have fun and just to relax and hang out with the guys and do fun stuff?
Man, my life is fun.
Your whole life is good?
My whole life is good. I do what I love for a living. There's nothing I'd rather do than go out there and just play. That's my sanctuary. When things are going well, that's where I want to be. When things are going bad, that's where I want to be. I'm here home in Los Angeles, born and raised. You know, I got a chance to play at UCLA. Now I'm playing for the Lakers, the team I grew up loving and watching. My friends and family are here. I live in Redondo Beach, right by the beach. So
wow.
It doesn't get much better, you know. My teammates are great. We all get along. When we're on the road, we're always together. I have a few guys who live in, you know, we always hang out with down here. And it doesn't get much better. We're just trying to make it happen and put it all together with the championship.
You sound like a guy who would be happy being a Laker for life.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not.
When did you start writing the blog that you do at Playboy.com?
I started at the beginning of this season, and it's been going really well for me.
And basically, is it Tuesday you put up a new blog?
Yeah, put up a new blog on current events, what's going on with the team, what's going on in the world, you know, my takes on fashion, women, all kind of things like that. I really want to stick with a clean, wholesome image and make sure everything I do is classy and done in the right light. And I think Playboy, especially even for the type of magazine it is, very classy, very professional, led by tons of businessmen and corporate people who can definitely be interested in what I'm doing as a person on and off the court. And I have my own foundation, the Jordan Farmar Foundation, where I want to help a lot of people. And just getting my name out there will definitely make it a lot easier to do that.
Tell us a little bit more about the foundation. Who are you trying to help?
Yeah, I started it when I came to the NBA. It's called the Jordan Farmar Foundation, and it benefits youth in many ways, but I have direct ties to UCLA, the Mattel Children's Hospital. But as of now, every Sunday game, you know, I do an event called Making Dreams Come True and bring a child who's at the hospital sick and, you know, not doing so well, bring them out of the hospital environment into a game. They get to come early, watch us go through warm-ups and shoot around, hang out with some of the players. My family stays with them the whole time. So, you know, they go to dinner at the game. They watch the game with my family. So they get to feel another sense of family.
That's pretty cool.
And then after the game, I come down and hang out with them and take pictures and sign all their autographs and just get them out of the hospital environment. You know, they all have a great time. At the end of the year, we have a reunion with all the kids, and I go back to the hospital. We have a big luncheon and just hang out. And it's great to see them, you know, get out of that mindset that I'm sick and something's wrong with me and I can just be a kid and go to a Lakers game and have fun and meet the players and stuff like that.
That's awesome.
I'm having a golf tournament this summer in July 20th, to raise money, you know, for my foundation that would also benefit the hospital. I'm trying to build a green room in the hospital where the kids can go and play and learn about energy conservation and being efficient, but also do research for school or play video games or watch TV and also just get out of that mind frame that they're in a hospital.
Right.
They're in some place outside where they can just clear their mind and have a good time.
Wow. Jordan, you sound like a great dude. I mean, like you pointed out, you got a great life, and it sounds like you recognize that, and you're giving back, and you're making Los Angeles a better place. So congratulations on all of your success so far, and obviously the way this season is going, we got our fingers crossed that this is another championship for you, man. We wish you nothing but the best. We thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Jordan. Playboy.com/blog/sports if you'd like to read Jordan's comment.
Hey!
Sorry, bad timing.
Yeah. The microphone.
I'm saying that 90% of people who drink wine can't tell the difference. That's what I'm saying.
They act
like they can.
You don't like wine. You don't know anything about wine. Just leave it alone. You don't know, so just stop.
Can't tell the difference between wines or what?
Between, if you serve it in a different glass, it tastes completely different.
Well,
kind of BS is that?
I know
that you've been told it does, but I'm guessing 5% of people can tell the difference. Everybody else is like, oh yeah, I know.
It's this weird little known thing called science. That's what it is, Kevin.
I'm not arguing the science.
It's a science fact.
I'm arguing all of the people who say that they can tell the difference. I think it's BS. That's what I'm arguing. Well, I think it's probably true science-wise. But,
it is true.
But all the people go, oh, yes, let me taste the wine before we have dinner. Yes, and everybody turns and looks at them like they're going to ever turn it down because they never do.
Who are you hanging with?
Well, my
Lord
friends.
Lord Fauntleroy? Who is all turning at the table and watching someone taste wine?
I went to a wine tasting festival one time. My friends,
what a waste.
My friends drink to get drunk. right? So they're not. So they just drink to drink. But these people, like, they want everybody to know their taste. They have great taste, and oh yes, it has a lovely bouquet, and it's got their whole stupid language, and probably none of them can tell the difference.
Strange word, bouquet.
No, but it's got legs. It's got bouquet. It's just
everything has its terminology, Kevin.
I know.
I mean, when you watch basketball, you talk about a layup, or you can say throw ball against board. You can call it that too, or you can call it a layup. There's terminology for everything.
Right. But what I'm saying is most people who act like wine experts are wine snobs, and they don't know anything about it, and they can't taste the difference.
Listen.
And they say, oh, we almost served you that in the wrong glass. Oh, wow. Yeah, that would have made a huge difference.
Let
me stop you right there. Ralph had a very reasonable explanation that I had never heard before because I don't know anything about wine. In the office the other day, Ralph, you told us why red wines and white wines are served in different glasses, and it made a lot of sense to me. What was that?
Right. Listen, I'm no wine expert, but I do love wine. I enjoy wine, and I enjoy tasting different wines, and we've got a wine fridge and all that kind of stuff at home. The thing with the glasses is red wines are served in a wider glass because you want to expose as much surface area of the wine to oxygen as possible. Once the wine is out of the bottle, the more oxygen it's exposed to changes the nature of the wine. It oxidizes.
Of course it does.
That's science.
Yes, I know.
Oxygen changes things.
Kevin, why don't you believe that? It makes perfect sense.
I do believe that.
And that's why when you decant a wine, you pour it into a wide-bottom decanter so it can be exposed to air as much as possible. That's why you open a wine before you drink it, an hour before you drink some wines, and let it what they call breathe, which means it interacts with the oxygen because it does affect the taste of the wine.
Right.
It's science.
What are the experts, the sommeliers.
Sommeliers.
Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They can tell, I believe. Of course.
Yes, most people can't highly tell trained
difference.
Professionals.
Most people can't tell the difference. And then the waiters come up to.
If I poured you a glass of red wine right out of the bottle and said, taste this,
yeah.
And then we let that wine sit for an hour and you went
no
back
difference.
And tasted it again, it would taste different to
nope.
you. It would.
No.
It's science.
It is science, but most people can't tell anywhere near as closely as they act. And the waiter comes over with the bottle of wine and goes, oh, please accept it. And then the person.
And they pour
just a tiny little taste. And then the person at the head of the table goes, yes, it pleases me. Yes, you may live.
No, you know
and then
what?
They take
it
back,
Kevin.
And then they pour it for everybody else.
You taste it
because that whole thing.
Sometimes wines turn in the bottle. They become vinegary. They've got a bad, bitter taste to them because it actually goes bad in the bottle. So they give you a little bit so you can taste it to make sure the wine hasn't turned.
Right.
Because if it's a bad bottle, then you'll send it back and they'll bring you another bottle.
And Kevin, even an oaf like you could taste the difference.
Yeah, bad wine. If you tasted a bad wine, you would
you
know
would spit
it's
it
bad.
Out. Yeah.
I've sent bottles back. I've tasted wine
and
said,
then you're
this
a,
is
you're
spoiled.
A BS and you're an a-hole.
This wine has spoiled. I would like another bottle.
Did they
please.
Bring your steak over to you and go, this could go bad? Is it all right? Here's a little tiny piece. Put it on your tongue and make sure it's okay.
Well, if they leave the Filet Mignon out in the sun for a couple days, then I would like to taste
I'm
it.
I'm just saying, the steak isn't 17 years old, you know?
or 20 or 30 or 40
Come
years
on.
Old.
You guys don't find it a little funny that people act like they know more than they do. Do you not find
I heard
that?
The jury's still out on science.
The things that you're complaining about are all basic things.
That like most people can't tell.
Tasting wine is necessary. It's legitimate. Why would you want to pour a big glass of bad wine and then start drinking it? It's a legitimate reason why people taste wine.
Why do they have
wine?
To have somebody at the table taste it, though?
What? You want the guy in the back to taste it? You want the waiter to take a swig out of my wine and see what it tastes like?
It's not a swig. It's a drop. That's all they taste.
A lot of times, if you do send it back, you will bring the sommelier over and have him taste it as well.
Absolutely.
Let me ask this question.
This does not please me.
We are going to take some phone calls on this topic at 1-800-520-1067.
We don't need phone calls.
We do. And I'm having trouble understanding, what's the downside of somebody checking to see if the wine has gone bad before it's poured to the table? It takes 30 seconds, Kevin.
That's what I don't understand.
But what's the downside of doing it? Why does it bother you so much?
If it's your wine, why shouldn't you taste it and decide whether it's good or not?
I think it's a big show so that they can feel
Who
important.
Who are you hanging out with? What kind of friends do you have that they're putting on this big show?
I don't have friends that do that. But I see, like, when I go to restaurants and stuff and they bring it over and the person swirls and you go, shut the
you
F
You swirl
up.
It because, again, you're exposing
it to
air.
Oh, yeah, I know you're supposed to get the oxygen. I know.
Yes.
You couldn't tell
well,
the difference.
Know, then why?
Because people act like they can tell
it's
the difference.
It's not about a difference. It's how it's supposed to be tasted. The winemakers make these wines specifically in a certain way, a certain style, to be enjoyed and tasted
and a lot
on
of
the
people,
other end in that way.
And a lot of people falsely act like they can tell the difference, and they can't. They just can't.
Well, if you put on a smoking jacket and an ascot and you light a pipe up before you drink your wine, then, yeah, you're going to be an a-hole. But a lot of people do the things you're talking about, Kevin, in a very nonchalant way. And we all go out to dinner, we taste our wines, and we have a lovely evening.
Please pour me some Diet Coke. I'm not sure it's good yet.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, it pleases me. You may have to take the table.
Diet Coke is a little longer.
That's so stupid.
We have to take a break. 1-800-520-1067 your calls. Real quick before we go, let's just get in one from Chewy in Long Beach. He's on line two real quick, and then we'll come back. We got Mike is a wine expert. We got some other people lined up.
You are. A name like Chewy. He's a sommelier.
Chewy?
Hold on a second. I want to ask one question, Ralph. I want to back up about 2 minutes. You said you had a wine fridge?
Yeah, it's like a portable wine cellar kind of thing. It keeps the wine over a certain temperature.
You're gay, number one. Number two, I'm going to prove it to you, you're gay. Did you have a wine fridge when you were banging all these porn stars?
Yes.
You liar.
I don't know. I've enjoyed wine for a long time because I used to work in the restaurant business, and that's where I got exposed as a waiter and a bartender to really nice wine, so I've been enjoying wine for a long time.
You're gay.
All right. Gay.
Chewy is on my side. I like that.
That's science, too. If you drink wine, you're gay.
I think Chewy
has your style of arguing, I'll tell you that.
It's tight right now. The oxygen has not had a chance to blend with it. So what we're doing is we're going to give it a chance to open up, we call it. And so we swirl it in our glass, and that's just getting oxygen to the wine. Next thing I typically do is we'll bring it up to our nose. One of the biggest parts of a wine isn't really the taste, but it's actually the smell. And so with my nose, I'm really... I'm smelling it for berries.
He waves the smell in. He waves it in toward his nose because it's not close enough.
You want to smell. You want to get your nose right in the glass, and you want to get the bouquet of the wine. And you can smell different types of smells. You can smell like a grassy smell or a peppery smell or a berry or a fruity smell.
Of course, earthy.
Yes, there are different smells and tastes to wine.
It's got
if I can speak for my client,
nose,
if I can speak for my client, Kevin, his defense is F you.
You're wrong. You're crazy. You're an idiot.
I think that everything Ralph is saying is true. I also think that a lot of people who can't tell the difference act like they can.
Okay, that's so let me ask you this question before we go to the call.
You don't need superpowers to be able to tell the difference. It's just a matter of experience. The more you do it, the more you learn. That's all.
Let me ask you this question, Kevin. If you were out to dinner with Ralph, and I know that would never happen, but let's say you were out to dinner with Ralph
at McDonald's,
and he ordered a bottle of wine to come to the table, would you mock him if he tested it before it was poured to the rest of the room? Or would you accept the fact that he knows what he's doing?
I would probably accept the fact that he knows what he's doing.
Would you mock me if I stuck my nose in the glass and started to smell it before I drank it so I could really experience the wine?
I actually would, yeah. I would mock it. I've embarrassed my wife many times at good restaurants when the sommelier starts talking about the different... That's the thing that set me off was the glass sizes are very, very close in size, some of them. And it's a completely different experience. And I just go, no, it isn't.
Well, one's better than the other.
Barely. And would you know?
Look, if
probably
you don't
not.
Like wine and you can't,
I don't.
And you don't taste a lot of it, then how would you know whether it's better or not?
I find
But he knows
it,
if you can taste it or not.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
how do you
I
know?
Like that.
I think some people can. I think most people that act like they can.
The Based more experience you get with wine, the easier it is to tell these things. And like I said, you don't have to be super powered to be able to appreciate wine like this.
Yes, it's earthy but generous. I say pour for the table.
And the legs of the wine, all the legs mean is the consistency of the wine. Is it a thicker, heavier wine, or is it thinner? So you do that, you run it around the edge of the glass, and you can see how it trickles down the side of the glass.
Let me ask you this question. Are there people who are wine snobs who act like they know more than they do?
There are some people like that, yes.
90%.
No! Not 90%! Millions
before
of people
we run out
drink
of time.
Wine around the world.
Yes, but they can't tell the difference between a tiny little glass
yes,
and another.
They can.
Oh, no, they can't.
Before we run out of time, let's go to Mike in Ventura. He says he's a wine specialist. He's on line four. Let's see what Mike is going to bring to the party. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Eric, thanks for holding on. What's the deal here?
I want to defend Ralph for a moment.
Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to say I've been working as a consultant on wine and spirits for over 10 years.
Okay.
I've done catering events to people who, like yourselves who say, I drink only to get drunk.
Right.
And I could guarantee both of you that I could get in a set of, inferior to great wines, and you would be able to tell the difference that you're drinking something of substance or substantial
value.
Would
I be able to tell the difference between the two glasses, though? It tastes that different.
To Ralph's defense, there are actually subtle differences. For example, I'm not to get too technical.
No, I don't doubt that there are subtle differences, and I don't doubt that you can taste them. I'm guessing that most people who say they can taste them can't.
I would love to, if I had 30 minutes to an hour of your time, I could prove you wrong.
I would take my life.
You would actually come up across saying, hey, I can actually tell the difference. And people have had that happen. Let me give you an example. Is this Kevin or Bean?
It's Kevin.
It's everybody. Yeah, it's all of us.
If you took great tequila, like Patron,
right,
and put it up against regular Cuervo, you'd know that there was
okay.
a difference.
Kevin would, because he knows vodka.
Okay, but hold on. If you did that with the same drink and put it in two different glasses that are a little bit different, would I be able to tell the difference? No.
But
well, actually, that's if you put it
no.
in a shot glass. Whoa, slow down, guys.
You see turbo.
If you drink it in a shot glass versus having it in a snifter, you would know the difference. You
yes.
would,
snifter. You snifters. Would, that's a dumb name, by the way. Snifter.
Why do you think they snifter. Serve liqueurs in those snifter glasses with the wide bottoms to expose them to air? Because it
gayness?
Changes the taste.
Snifter.
Because of gayness. Yes, that's what it is.
If you want somebody to come in and
we
help
don't.
You out on a challenge. I would love
we
to.
Don't. We. I have no interest in that,
Mike. It's pearls before swine, dude. No appreciation, Mike. I appreciate the offer, but your time would be wasted, sir.
I have been at nice restaurants arguing with the sommelier, whatever that is, and my
the
wife
guy from
is,
Somalia, right?
And my wife is kicking me under the table. Shut up! You're embarrassing me. But it's the. Come on,
Kevin. Isn't it possible that it's not for you?
It is not for
me.
I know that.
Possible.
I know that it's not for me, and I'm fine with the fact that I don't appreciate it. But I don't think most people act like they do either.
But if you don't have any experience in that world, how do you know?
And Lisa's question is based on what? Do you think that most people are faking it when they say this tastes good versus this tastes bad?
I have been to wine tastings and I go away from my wife and her friends who get drunk on the wine, and I just wander around and I listen to people, and to hear them talk is insanity.
But those
it's
are people
so
who
stupid.
Go to wine tastings.
Yeah, if you went to a stamp collector's conference and everybody was talking about how the edges are crisp and clean and the texture of the printing and stuff, anytime you get with a group of specialists in any one area, and they're really passionate about small things, it's going to sound like that.
Yeah, it's a very small subset of people who drink wine. They go to tastings.
The person who orders has to taste it before the dinner. Come on, people.
Why would you want to drink spoiled wine?
You wouldn't.
We have to
why
give
can't...
him a glass of spoiled wine
why
so
can't...
he can tell what it tastes
like. But
give
him a spoiled wine enema in a minute.
But why can't the dude
because
taste it?
Because you don't want him to open your bottle of wine outside of your sight.
Right.
Because you want to make sure that wine is what you ordered.
Well, what kind of bait and switch are they working at restaurants?
I don't know.
I mean, I would expect them
don't
to.
Don't they do that with
plus,
alcohol sometimes?
If you're spending that kind of money on a bottle of wine, you want to be the one to determine
right,
whether it's good
right.
or not.
Most people that spend that amount of money on a bottle of wine can't tell the difference, but they like the
it's
show.
Crazy.
They like the show of them coming out and saying, oh, taste it. And then everybody looks at them, oh, please.
Oh, no one
it
does
pleases
that.
Me.
And by the way,
Pour for the table. It pleases me.
Or are you dining with the Shah of Iran? Who are you hanging out with?
I don't know.
I just
all
find
right.
it
ridiculous.
We're out of
now,
time,
these,
guys.
Look at all these phone calls. We
I know.
Have.
Great calls, and I appreciate every one of them, but we just frankly don't have the
there's
time.
There's like one of them that agrees with me, too. That's it. That's a shame.
Are we prepared to let the Kevins of the world decide anything for us?
No.
Anything at all?
No.
Mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers today. Highs will be in the lower 60s. Want better service, lower rates, and dependable coverage? You want Wawa Nese Insurance. Call 877-WAWA-NESA or go online at WawaNeseUS.com. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Lisa, you may want to revise your weather forecast there.
No, it is raining.
It's pouring cats
is
and
it
dogs.
Here?
Pouring.
Yeah.
Okay, good okay. times. It's
well,
possible that it's going
to
continue as well.
50 to 100% chance of rain.
Yeah, it's 100% chance of rain today. Mm. Absolutely.
I want to thank Jordan Farmar, number 5 from your Los Angeles Lakers, for coming on. Their team plays next at Staples Center Friday night against the Timberwolves. And also, we get a lot of emails from people about the Fair Ticketing Fund that we talked to. That email, that website again is showclicks.com. That's SHOWCLIX if you want to check that out. Tomorrow, San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show, and our friend Joel McHale is going to be here. So we have a very good show planned for you tomorrow. And
also
right now,
this afternoon, by the way, Harvey Levin's going to tell us about the Octomom selling her birthing tape.
How about that?
Selling a video of her giving birth, and she's shopping it in the high 7 figures.
Well,
that'll
be your
kids
see for
that.
A week.
I don't
want to
see that at all.
So we'll ask him about that this afternoon.
And it's a cesarean, so you don't even get vagina, right?
No.
I mean, seriously, what's the point of
it's
that?
It's really not hot either way, baby.
Yeah, no. I don't want to see a vaginal birth either, quite frankly. Yeah,
either put out porn or don't put anything out.
Right,
one or the other. We don't need this.
That's a good policy. All right, 8:56. Before all of those great Kevin and Bean shows, we've still got to wrap this one up, and Ralph is here with the final look at the Showbiz Beat.
No Doubt's doing you a favor. They appreciate your support, so if you buy a ticket for their tour this summer, the band has a special gift for you. Their website's saying if you buy a ticket, you will get the entire No Doubt digital music catalog as a bonus. You get to download every song they've ever recorded.
So if you buy a ticket, you can click it?
Exactly.
That's
yes.
what they're saying?
I believe this may be the top-tier tickets. I don't think it's every ticket in the venue, but I think if you buy a certain threshold of ticket price, you get to download their entire catalog for free, which is still a value.
That's pretty cool.
Great deal, yeah.
That's about 80 songs from their 7 studio albums and a brand new track, which is their cover version of Adam and the Ants Stand and Deliver. Apparently that version will be on the CW's Gossip Girl on May 11th. They'll be debuting there, so you can hear it on Gossip Girl. Wow, is that a Dave the King of Mexico perfect storm?
It's just a weapon.
Play with Paramore.
Play with Paramore, yeah. And No Doubt's going to be on Gossip
He's
Girl.
Going on the road with them. Have you heard him talk about it? He's literally following them on the road.
Really?
Yes.
Doesn't he have a job?
He's talking about going to Chicago.
Yeah,
and all
but just
places.
Here.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's not much of a job. Congratulations to our pal Sarah Silverman. Looks like Sarah's TV show has been saved. The Sarah Silverman program on Comedy Central. There was word that the third season may actually never happen because Comedy Central was cutting the budget to produce the show around 20%. And Sarah and the producer said, we just cannot do the show for that amount of money. Now Logo has stepped in. That's the gay network, right, Logo?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, yeah.
It's a sister network of Comedy Central. They've stepped in, and they're going to co-finance the third season. So Comedy Central and Logo will share the 10 approved episodes that they'll go into production soon.
So. It's not so much that they're a gay network. They just drink a lot of wine.
Gay with your wine fridge. Sarah's going to be in our April Foolishness.
Yes. Right? That's correct.
That's going to be quite the show.
She's great.
Little Kim, of course, is a new contestant on Dancing with the Stars. When does that debut, Lisa? You follow these things.
I don't know.
Good.
I haven't watched the last few seasons.
I think it's next week, though. I mean, it's very close. I know it's close.
Interesting how Lil' Kim got interested in Dancing with the Stars. She's a big fan of the show. She said she really enjoyed the program while watching it in prison.
Okay.
It was the most requested program amongst all the inmates, she said.
You know how felons love the dancing.
They do. That's true.
They can't true. Get enough ballroom dancing. Those
sure.
murderers and rapists. They love dancing.
They do.
A little less dancing, less raping. That's what I would suggest to them if they love it so much. Apparently, her fellow prisoners were the ones who said that you should go out for it when you get out of here. You should go and try to be
us.
On Dancing with the Stars.
We can't do it. You do it.
This is for all the inmates of cell block L. So, Little Kim's got her reasons.
We need more minorities in prison.
Oh, come on.
What's wrong with you? You got time for a quick email right here?
Yeah.
Sure.
I got this from listener Ryan. I was shocked and surprised to get this information. I'm not much of a camper, but apparently Ryan is. Dear Ralph, recently my family went camping at Yosemite National Park. We got up there early one morning to go for a hike. On our way to the trail, we were stopped by a park ranger. She told us that some other hikers had seen bears roaming the trails, and they were recently looking for food, and we needed to be careful. There were a couple of things she needed to tell us about the wildlife in order to stay safe. I guess you could say she had two tidbits of bear advice.
I've got two tidbits of bear advice.
Really?
Come on. Yeah!
Oh! F*** you!
Two tidbits of bear advice.
That was awesome. I think we just crossed the line.
That's from listener Ryan Davis. Ryan, thank you so much for that.
I think we just crossed the line.
Ralph, don't embarrass me.
Oh, I smell a whole new world.
I don't.
A whole new world of emails. That's what I'm telling you. Today's celebrity birthday is Catherine O'Hara is 55 years old today. Patricia Heaton from Everybody Loves Raymond is 51. Steven Weber from Wings is 48. Patsy Kensit turns 41 years old today. I am Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
So the Octomom is being reported to us through TMZ is shopping around the videotape of the birth of the octuplets.
Yep.
For big dollars.
For over $1 million, yes.
Yeah, what's up with that? We'll get the very latest from our friend Harvey Levin at TMZ.com later this hour. Plus, we've got your tickets for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness, a phenomenal night of comedy, April 3rd at the Gibson. Before you can buy those tickets, you can win them this hour on Kevin Bean's Cinco de la Tarde.
I don't like politics much. The Republican National Committee has gotten a new chairman. Though
his I'm name not is surprised.
Michael Steele.
Yeah.
And he's a black guy, and he says that his party's going to launch an off-the-hook public relations campaign.
All right.
Well, the Republicans are known as being especially hip.
Off the hook, he says. We need messages to really capture that region. He's talking about a couple of states, North Carolina and Virginia. Young, Hispanic, black, a cross-section, he said in an interview published Thursday. We want to apply our principles to the urban, suburban hip-hop settings.
Huh. Hey, I mean, they have to do that. It's very, very smart of Mr. Steele and the Republican Party because the demographics are working against them. If they continue to say that minorities are going to vote for Democrats and we're not going to do anything about it, they're going to continue to lose elections. So it makes a lot of sense that they're trying to kind of revamp the party a little bit. And we've got somebody who knows a little something about politics on the line, our old friend Senator John McCain from the great state of Arizona joins us this afternoon. I'm Kevin Abean, Cinco de la Tarde. Hey, Senator.
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Very good. How have you been?
I've been refocusing, trying to help the Republican Party as much as I can to recapture the White House and Congress in 4 years. We're very excited.
Do you know the new chairman, Michael Steele?
Absolutely. I've been working very closely with MC Steele. And I'm telling you, the whole thing's off the hook. It's off the chain. If there's a hook at the end of the chain, it's off that as well.
Now, so Senator, so you're basically on board with saying we've got to figure out a way to be more inclusive and bring in especially more young people, more urban people into the party.
Absolutely. We're looking to expand the Republicanizzle National Commizzle.
I don't think you're the guy to pull that off.
And we're going to make it a welcoming thing for all the young the hip-hops and the Hispanics.
The young hip-hops.
And if we win the White House in 4 years, I promise all our Hispanic voters that we will play Hail to the Chief only on accordion and trumpet.
I don't think they're not going
like to. Ranchero.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to like that
and
either.
We'll have huevos ranchero, too. Whatever it takes. And we'll buy your fruit.
So that's one step that you're making toward reaching out to those people, right?
Yes, and if the black voters, the African American voters, vote Republican, I promise them we will get an African American president in the White House before their lifetime is over. I promise them that.
There's one now.
Oh, mission accomplished. See, I'm a man of my word.
You guys are good. I guess.
Shizzle, my nizzle.
Nope, that's not. You can't pull that off, Senator McCain.
Hey, don't get up in my grill, home slice.
I'm just saying, maybe you're not the guy.
I will bust a cap in your ass.
Why don't you let Michael Steele do that kind of recruiting?
Actually, I'd rather have Lexicon Steele do it.
Oh.
Oh, Psycho Mike knows.
He does. Yeah, apparently.
It's a 4-star with a big black.
Oh, Senator, come on.
Well, it is.
It is. That's true.
Shouldn't be talking about that in interviews.
Steel. Do yourself a favor. It's amazing what that guy's packing.
You have a lot of his videos, do you?
Well, I don't, but Cindy does.
How did this conversation go so horribly wrong?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde. And from TMZ.com, we have a frequent guest, Harvey Levin, on the program. Good afternoon, Harvey.
Hi, Lisa May. Where's she?
She's here.
Here. Hi, Harvey. Okay. It's just Kevin at the controls.
Yeah, I'm just making mistakes.
Kevin is now playing God with the microphones, Harvey. If he doesn't like you that day, that's how it works. So, yeah. You're actually lucky that he brought the phone onto the controls. Well, listen, the reason we wanted to have a rare Harvey Levin TMZ afternoon appearance is because you have been following a story that is of great interest to us and our listeners, because the most hated woman in America, the Octomom, is all over your site. And the last two posts that you've made about her have kind of blown my mind. We'll talk about all the police visits to her home in a minute. But what's going on with this possible videotape, Harvey?
It's the best story ever, guys.
It is.
It's the best story ever. So what is the most mercenary thing she could do? And this really shows premeditation, that she knew something was up. Well, she knew she was having all these kids.
Right.
So what does she do? She has the birth videotaped, and she has people out there now trying to hawk the videotape and sell it for, drumroll, 7 figures.
So a million plus. She wants $1 million plus.
7 figures for the birth.
Now, Harvey, I would imagine that the hospital, the Kaiser Permanente, would have been videotaping anyway just because of how unusual the delivery was. But this is, you're talking about a personal tape. She had somebody there in the room who was taping it just for her use.
Well, I am just telling you, you that there was a tape made with her consent. I don't know who recorded this.
Right.
I just know there was a tape made with her consent, and she has people out there that are hawking this thing for seven figures.
Okay. Well, maybe you can help with this. Who wants to see that? Because...
Yeah.
Well, not on our, I mean, we put it on our site that we asked the question, and I think like 80% of the people are saying that absolutely no effing way, they say.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a cesarean. They took them out in the abdomen, right?
Yeah, which is always pretty.
Right. But that means no vag. I mean, you don't even get a gratuitous vagina shot, right, if this is how you're giving birth.
So, well, I mean, Lisa May, I mean, don't rag on Bean here because, honestly, I mean, we had a meeting for the show this morning.
Right.
And we decided that there's no way we can compete. We're a small show. There's no way we're going to be able to compete with E.T. for that. So we're going to buy the afterbirth.
Oh!
Right now!
Come on!
Yes!
He's on.
Yes.
All right. Harvey, who would be, you know how, you know what news organizations are out there and what they're willing to pay. Who is there anyone that comes to mind that would cough up this kind of cash for this tape? And if so, what would they possibly do with it?
Well, I mean, you see, that's the thing is, the fact that it's not a vaginal birth probably makes it more marketable because they can make it look medical now.
But
that E.T. does, you know, it's like E.T. meets the Discovery Channel.
But who would want to see it even if it's medical?
Oh, well, okay, guys, listen, let me ask you something. You may hate it, but I mean, think of it. Which singer? I mean, you guys hate so many singers. Who do you hate?
Who do we hate? Fall Out Boy.
We hate Tyra Banks.
Tyra Banks.
Okay, but you know what? But you watch Tyra Banks. You guys record it all the time. So, I mean, I know you do. I know your record. So,
yes.
You know, you would probably do the same thing. You would just say, I can't believe it. It's an ambulance. It's an ambulance going down the street. You'd watch it.
So you would watch it just to see what it was like. And
would you be honest with me. Would you not watch it?
I would not watch it.
I don't think I would, Harvey, but only because I'm a pussy when it comes to blood. I'll pass out if I see blood. So, and that doesn't seem sexy to me.
Well, it's not, no. The idea here is not sexy.
No.
They're not selling sexy.
Okay, good.
Well, it is amazing because she has seems. I mean, I saw her on the Dr. Phil interview. And again, if you're just joining us, we've got Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on. We're talking about the Octomom now maybe selling a videotape of the birth. I saw her on Dr. Phil, and she seems so nonplussed about the enormous crushing financial burden that awaits her when she brings these kids home.
And you kind of she's making every deal. She's like William Morris now.
But yeah, you kind of got the impression that she must have something up her sleeve that she knows she doesn't have to worry about it because she's going to have so much cash coming in that she'll be fine.
So you really believe that E.T. and Dr. Phil didn't give her something for those interviews? Seriously?
I don't know how that works, but I would guess they did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guys.
Absolutely.
Harvey knows how it works.
Yeah, how much does she get for that?
Yeah, what do you think?
I don't know what they paid her for, but they paid her in some form. She did not do this for free.
Yeah. No, certainly
I can
not.
I can tell you that when she was in the hospital, she had people pitching stuff.
Wow.
I know it.
Everything that comes out about her makes me hate her more.
I know.
No, she is a piece of work.
Let me ask you one more thing, Harvey, because I know you're very busy and we're desperately late on time, and that is the other story that you reported a couple of days ago on TMZ.com, Octomom probed by Child Services, where you had a laundry list of visits from Child Services and from the police to her home, and this is before the octuplets come home. What's going on with this woman?
A neighbor thought that the kids were not being fed properly or clean and called DCFS, and Children's Services came out, the cops came out, they investigated, they decided it was unfounded, but then there were these series of, you know, 911 calls. I mean, she freaked out one day because one of the kids was missing. We're guessing escaped, but they said missing.
Yeah.
And it turned out that the grandma had just gone for a walk, and the kid just followed the grandma down the street, and she flipped out, and five cop cars came that day. One day, a kid got locked in a bedroom, and she didn't call the locksmith. She called 911. And the best one was, when she was in the hospital 3 days before giving birth, they used to call 911 so much, one of the kids just decided, let me call 911.
What 911. The hell's going on? And this is before the octuplets, right?
Before the octuplets.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you think that Kaiser's going to hold these kids up and not send them home with her because it may not be a fit place for them to live?
I think the kids are going to go on. First of all, you know, I think she could say she's probably the only person in America now making some serious money.
Yeah, well,
that's true.
That's probably true.
So, you know, she's going to say, look, I have the means now to, you know, to care for him. And, you know, Glory Allred's helping me out. And,
yeah, what a
you
surprise.
Know, Dr. Phil's helping me out. And E.T.'s helping me out. And God knows who else is helping me out. And that birth that we had in this little hospital, they're going to help me out. You know.
Wow.
Yeah. It is a fascinating story. Like you said, we all hate her, but we all follow her. And she has given you content to last you through the rest of 2009. That's for sure, Harvey.
Okay, guys.
Thanks for coming on with us.
Good talking to you.
Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness goes on sale tomorrow afternoon at 5 p.m. If you want to join us April 3rd at the Gibson Amphitheater live on stage to see Jimmy Kimmel, Jay Moore, Kevin Nealon, Patton Oswalt, Joe Rogan, Ray Romano, Jeffrey Ross, Sarah Silverman, and Jimmy's house band from the TV show Cleeter and the Cleetones, they go on sale tomorrow in about 23 and a half hours from right now. Or you can win some right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you want to call, we'll make it caller 20, and you can join us at the Gibson for that big show on April 3rd. Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on?
You ready for the comeback?
The comeback of who?
Michael Jackson.
Yes!
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yes.
Michael Jackson is announcing in London at the O2 Arena. You know that giant mammoth dome they've got there in London next to the Thames?
It's a new one,
That's the place that Prince played for 20 shows in a row or something, right?
21 days there. Zeppelin did their one-off reunion gig there, of course.
Right.
He is meeting the press to announce his comeback tour.
Awesome.
Apparently, it will be about 30 dates around the world. Michael Jackson live in concert. This is his first concert since 2001, I guess.
I don't think he actually has the strength to do a lot of concerts.
Oh, at least you don't know. He's ready. He's been fighting in MMA.
That's true.
There you go. He's set. He's ready to, what he's ready to do is make some money because he's
bad. That's clearly it.
He needs it badly.
So we got Britney on the comeback trail, and now Michael Jackson. It's a good time to be alive.
Isn't it funny that as desperate as Michael is for money, and he's finally going to go out on the road, he still won't give Tito a call back. He still won't call Jermaine. He still won't let the brothers have a piece of it.
I know. They've been begging him to go on the road with the Jacksons, and he's like, no.
He can't give up a piece. He needs them all. He's desperate.
He's got no pieces left. They've taken them all off him with surgery.
Or they've fallen off one or the other.
They said it's just for you.
Okay.
A little Sex and the City spoiler for the next movie. You ready?
Yes.
She tells Star Magazine that Carrie Bradshaw, her character in the Sex and the City TV series and subsequent feature films, will get pregnant in the next movie.
No
she kidding. Will, she will have a foal.
She did.
Go to a stud farm.
That's very exciting.
Foal, and they will have to put on the gloves and reach in there and pull out the horse. But the baby stands up and walks almost right away, right after the birth. So that should make for some fascinating movie making. Looking forward to that.
See, Lisa, because she looks a lot like a horse.
Oh, I didn't get it.
See what
I've
done.
I was embarrassed to say that.
Do you guys remember McGruff, the crime dog?
Hell yeah.
Sure. I loved that commercial.
Take a bite out of crime?
Take a bite out of crime.
Yep.
He was like a dog in a trench coat. And he used to fight crime. He used to come to your school and tell you, hey, don't do bad things.
Right.
McGruff, the crime dog, was a victim of a crime this week. Apparently, a man dressed as McGruff, the crime dog, was in a D.C. area when a bus driver jumped off a bus and punched him in the face.
I want to do it because it's fun. Fun to do bad things.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
In Washington, D.C., McGruff was passing out flyers to the kids when a Metro bus pulled up to the curb. The bus driver climbed out of his bus, adjusted both side view mirrors, and then punched McGruff in the face.
Oh, my God.
Do they know why?
Apparently.
Why would he do that? That's awesome.
Apparently the attacker jumped back into the bus and drove off. Police arrived and pulled the bus over just blocks away. The passengers were yelling at the driver on the inside. As they pulled him off the bus, he told police he was just trying to be funny.
Well, he succeeded.
That's what I love about that
Kevin's
guy.
People
that
right there.
That is my guy.
He's driving down the road. He sees McGruff and he goes, oh, it'd be so hilarious if I just beat the crap out of that guy dressed as a dog.
McGruff right in the head and then jumped back on the bus and took off. Wouldn't that be fun?
I hope they gave him a bonus.
Gave him a bone.
Oh.
That's what you get from McGruff the crime dog.
Yeah.
See? Bone.
Dog. Bone.
Dog. Bone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nick Mac Paddywhack.
Today's celebrity birthday is Catherine O'Hara, a very talented actress. You know her from Home Alone, all the Christopher Guest films. She was on the SCTV for many years, one of my favorite TV shows. 55 years old today. Patricia Heaton from Everybody Loves Raymond is 51. Steven Weber from Wings and Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip turns 48. Patsy Kensit, actress and singer, and wife to Liam Gallagher of Oasis. She is 41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.